crisis.
One pub a day shut last year as the industry blames a lack of help. Why is no one stepping in to stop the decline of the tavern? And
it's going to make a real difference. It's going to reach so many children and young people, keeping them healthy, making sure their parents don't have to take weeks off work.
A chickenpox jab for all, including a trial to actually jab people at their home. What is not to like? Those stories and more after the news at 7 on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock. Swiss authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify many victims of a ski resort fire. Around 40 people are presumed dead and more than 100 injured. It broke out at a bar in Kron, Montana, a couple of hours after midnight at a New Year party. Oscar knows the bar well and be turned away that night because it was full.
Just one stair leading to the basement. So it's very, very narrow, especially when panic breaks out. And I don't even want to imagine what the people down there felt.
Switzerland is holding 5 days of national mourning. Weather warnings for snow are in place for much of the UK, with travel disruption likely. Scotland will be the most severely affected, with snowfall already causing difficulty for drivers in the Highlands and northeast Scotland. Around 2 centimetres of snow could fall in some areas. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. From today, it will be offered to babies aged between 12 and 18 months as part of the combined MMR jab. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, says it will make a real difference.
It's going to reach so many children and young people, keeping them healthy, making sure their parents don't have to take weeks off work, dealing with an irritable and unwell child. And so I'm really proud.
A man's been charged with trespassing after someone managed to get into the grounds of Kensington Palace twice before Christmas. 39-year-old Derek Egan has also been charged with breaching his bail conditions. The AA is warning the start of next week will be one of the worst days of the year for breakdowns. It says batteries and tyres on cars that have been idle all Christmas can cause problems on Manic Monday. In the city, the FTSE 100 will start the day at 99.31 after closing down 9 points on New Year's Eve. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers across northern Scotland. Sunshine further south, but cold everywhere with highs of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lucinda Horsley.
This was made with human intelligence.
And artificial intelligence.
Just like Intuit QuickBooks business management software. Why? Because when you're working in a growing business, complexity
grows too.
So new QuickBooks AI gives you real-time cash flow visibility
to make the most of opportunities. It's amazing.
I was going to say that. Outdo it with Intuit QuickBooks.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
7:03 is the time. Good morning. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC later this hour.
I saw the fire inside the place. There were a lot of people at the entry trying to escape. A lot of people were screaming, and I saw a lot of people on the floor.
As we reported yesterday, dozens dead in a New Year inferno at a Swiss ski bar after a fire tore through. It's a bar popular with British tourists. We'll have the latest from Switzerland. In business,
silence the critics. IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
IKEA coming to a high street near you as the retailer is set to build more small stores. We will tell you where, possibly where, and have the latest on that later on. Plus, it's busy on the roads.
Snow and icy conditions are already causing travel disruption to many parts of the UK this morning. I'm LBC travel reporter Dave Goff with the full details next.
The second highest of channel crossings in a year after figures released yesterday. Plus,
in 2024, thousands of people turned out to a fake New Year's Eve firework display in Birmingham. And this year, well, it happened all over again. I'm LBC's George Ike with the story.
Was it right that a James Bond star avoided a driving ban due to his family woes? He was doing 24 in a 20 zone, already had 9 points on his licence. We'll discuss that later. And
could not be asked to set off that whole thing of, you know, ring the labour ward, ring for an ambulance, paramedics to... Oh, I just wanted to go back to bed.
That's Amanda Owen, the Yorkshire shepherdess from Our Yorkshire Farm. She reveals why she had a home birth for her eighth child. She couldn't be bothered.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
Good morning to you. Starting off this hour, talking about a story, a report that is featured in actually most of the newspapers this morning. The headline in the I newspaper, workers hammered by stealth tax. Rachel Reeves is hammering workers with stealth taxes, while pensioners and those on benefits will see their incomes increase, analysis by a think tank has found. The Chancellor extended a freeze on income tax thresholds until 2031, meaning that people face being dragged into paying higher rates as their wages increase. Now, the CPS, the Centre for Policy Studies, which has done this research, said that someone earning £50,000 today would be £505 worse off in real terms by 2030 to 2031. Now, I don't want to blitz you with statistics, so I'll tell you that one more time. Someone earning 50 grand today would be £505 worse off in real terms by 2030, 2031. Now, the CPS, which is described as a centre-right think tank, said there was a rather sunnier picture for pensioners and those on the standard allowance for universal credits. Because the state pension triple lock guarantees an increase in line with either 2.5% or inflation or earnings, whichever is the highest, whichever is the sort of lowest, the baseline, a pensioner could expect to be at least £306 better off in real terms in 2030, 2031 than this year, effectively. So a pensioner could expect to be £306 better off in real terms, whereas someone earning 50 grand, a working person, as the government often likes talking about, didn't they, would be £306 better off if you are a pensioner. The head of economic policy at the CPS said Labour's tax policy is quietly hammering workers while protecting pensioners and benefits recipients. A Treasury spokesperson, though, said the fair and necessary decisions made at the budget were that so we can deliver on the country's priorities. Keir Starmer often struggled to define, but did speak ad nauseam about working people and what a working person was. When you hear that working people will be worse off in real terms and that people on benefits, people on pensions, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, will be better off in real terms, does that strike you as a country that works for working people? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. You can text 84850 or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. In a moment, to John McTernan, the political strategist who previously worked for Sir Tony Blair. But first, Emma Revel is spokesperson from the CPS, the Centre for Policy Studies, who conducted this report. And if I could start, Emma, by asking you that question. Does it actually pay to be a working person in Britain? Good morning.
Good morning. It's quite a depressing start of the new year, isn't it? Broadly, it does. What we've done is highlight a particular crunch point of those who are above average earnings. Important to point that out because a lot of your listeners will think actually £50,000 is quite a lot of money. But they're at a particular crunch point in the tax system where the higher they are approaching that higher rate threshold. And because that hasn't changed, it's been frozen since 2001. And Rachel Reeves has extended that freeze now till 2021, and it's been extended now until 2030, 2031, because people have been getting increases in their wages, but the thresholds have not been going up. More and more people are being dragged into paying a higher rate of tax who would not have paid that higher rate had it risen with inflation. It's bringing more money in for the Treasury and allowing politicians to effectively raise taxes without looking like they're raising taxes.
So, as you say, £50,000 is for a lot of people, a lot of money. For those who earn, I don't want to sort of go through all of them, but if you do earn slightly less than that, are you still worse off then? Just to look at that under the stealth taxes.
So the way we've done the calculation is for people who go over that tipping point,
sure,
of that higher rate of tax. So if you earn under, it's currently £50,270. If you earn under that, we have used the OBR's predictions of what they expect wage increases will be over the next couple of years. You are likely to pass through that threshold. and therefore go up to paying income tax at a much higher rate. So your take-home pay, once the things like inflation, cost of services, cost of food are factored in, by 2030, your take-home pay will actually be less than it is now. Obviously, it doesn't affect everybody. People will be in different places on the pay scale. But if you're in and around that crunch point, there is a real danger that actually you'll be taking home less money in 2030 than you are today.
Now, it's touched on in the I paper. If we look at pensions specifically and the fact that there is that triple lock for pensions, so depending on 2.5%, inflation or earnings, whichever is the highest, means that pensions increase in line with that. Is that something that this government or successive... I mean, someone is going to have to grapple with that sooner rather than later, aren't they?
Someone is. And what's interesting and also slightly depressing for someone who wants to see reform to the triple lock is quite a lot of politicians and people who work in and around policymaking in Westminster will admit to you in private that the triple lock is not sustainable in the long term. It has cost the country tens of billions more than it was predicted to cost when it was introduced under the coalition government in 2010-2011. But because pensions are such a sensitive subject, not just for pensioners, but, you know, everyone wants to see granny well cared for in her retirement. No one wants to talk about taking money away from pensioners. It's a sensitive subject. And the fact that older voters are, you know, among the most likely to vote. They're very active politically, very vocal for politicians. No politician really wants to come out publicly and say, this is something that we need to reform. However, the trajectory of how much that's going to cost over the coming decades and how much it's already cost us means it is inevitable at some point someone's going to have to grasp the nettle.
I think you're right. Thank you, Emma, for your time. Much appreciated. Emma Revel is spokesperson for the Centre for Policy Studies, the CPS, who conducted this report. To John McTurnan, the political strategist for Burson, former political secretary to Sir Tony Blair. Always good to have you on, John. Can I ask you that same question with which I asked Emma? Does it actually pay to be a working person in Britain if we see stats and reports like this? Good morning.
Yes, of course it pays to be a working person because real wages are rising, just to start with. And the second one is the Tory think tank that you're interviewing are comparing a pensioner who gets £12,000 a year from their state pension, which is being protected in real terms by the triple lock, comparing them to people earning over £50,000 a year. And based on completely hypothetical increases in tax thresholds. So it's a piece of holiday nonsense, the story.
Okay, in terms of the real terms sort of penalty for someone earning £50,000, though, being £505 worse off, you don't buy that?
No, I don't buy it because...
people will be dragged into the thresholds nonetheless, won't they, John?
They won't, because those thresholds won't come into... They won't be frozen in 2028, 2029, 2030, will they?
Well, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so, because the fiscal drag is projected in the government's estimates for the OBR, just as every year the government says in its projections that it might increase fuel duty. It never does. No government's increased fuel duty for nearly a decade. I don't believe that a Labour government will increase taxes on working people in the year of a general election, which is what the year 2028-29 will be. So it's an entirely hypothetical discussion.
When we look back at the decision in November's budget to freeze the threshold, and as you say, that's only to a certain point, but you can't deny, John, that that did have a negative effect, and that has really impacted a lot of working people.
It's a proposal to increase, to freeze the thresholds from a certain point. The existing freeze was inherited from the previous Tory government.
But that was interpreted by some as being a breach of the manifesto because taxes on working people.
It wasn't an increase in income tax. The rate of income tax wasn't an increase in the bit either the base rate or the higher rate of income tax wasn't an increase in VAT. Look, my own view is the public last year were ready for a rebalancing of the economy in many, many ways. I think they'd have been in favour of harsher conditions on landlords, for example, because one of the biggest pressures on cost of living is your rents. They would have been willing for a Labour government to say, come on, we need to rebuild public services, and therefore the finances are too bad, we will have to change our mind on income. There was a moment when Labour could have done that. Labour's chosen not to, and I think it's important to know that Labour said the biggest thing they're committed to is not cutting public spending, not cutting capital spending, and the stop-go of capital spending is one of the things which has hurt growth, which has hurt the economy over the years. Every time you reach for a break, you reach for cuts in capital spending, and then you cut that deep in investment in the future growth of the economy. So like the Labour government chose a pathway, and they're balancing towards the OBR. This projection is based on something happening in the last year before a general election. What's going to happen between now and then is, one hopes, the government hopes, and there's a 50-50 chance of it, economists say, of higher growth. If there's higher growth in the economy, these tax changes won't come into play at all.
The benefits bill is due to hit £100 billion by 2030. A lot of that is going to be pensions. And I asked my previous guest about the triple lock. Is that something you think this government has the courage to address?
Well, this government's got a manifesto commitment to keep it.
Manifestos, as you know, Mr. McDermott, don't necessarily mean.
I don't believe the government will change its mind. No, it made one small change to pension compensation with the cut of winter fuel payments, and it was forced by the public to restore it. And that wasn't simply pensioners; it was the families of pensioners who were outraged at that change. I think.
Well, sure, but there've been plenty of things. Like, I mean, I don't want to sort of linger on it. There've been plenty of things that weren't in the manifesto that you know that have come in. So let's not.
I think the triple lock will be maintained until for length of this parliament. My view is what should happen is that there should be an acceptance that pensions have got to a certain proportion of average earnings, and they should be maintained at that, because pensions did fall too far. They've now got, I mean, £12,000 a year is what the state pension is. That is a third of median earnings. Now, I think that is probably about right. So other people may not think it is enough, but you can stabilise at that for the 30s, and that would do a lot to take control of the benefits bill.
Thank you. Appreciate it. John McTernan is a political strategist for Burson and former political secretary to Tony Blair. Your views on this, John McTernan questioning the figures within the reports. Do you think it does pay? I mean, I want to hear from your personal experience. Do you find that you are sort of hit with ever more taxes? Does it actually pay to be a working person? 0345-6060-973 is the number to call. Also,
our country shares your grief with respect and sympathy.
That is the Swiss President Guy Pomelli. We'll get the latest on that, plus also the snow and travel disruption in the UK too. 7:17 the time, the news with Lucinda Horsley.
Authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify many victims of a fire at a New Year party in a Swiss ski resort. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. Snow warnings have been upgraded from yellow to amber for parts of the UK, forecast to say Scotland could see up to 40 centimetres. LBC weather, cold with heavy snow showers across northern Scotland, sunshine further south, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow in Ealing. The North Circular is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. So that also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road. In Cheam, Northey Road is closed both ways near St Paul's Church. That's because of an accident. The A22 Caterham Bypass northbound is partly blocked from Godstone Road to the Wapsies Lodge roundabout. That's because of an accident. So there are delays. On the trains, southern services aren't moving between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction because of problems with the overhead wires, and there's no service on South Eastern at Charing Cross or Waterloo East. That's because of engineering works.
LBC.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house, and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly. To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Frontera Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders ends further January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
From London Gatwick, fly Singapore Airlines to Singapore and beyond. To the beauty of Bali, the warmth of Thailand, and the wonders of Vietnam, or many other Asian destinations. With daily flights and award-winning service, your next adventure starts here. Fares to Thailand starting from £614. Book your escape today at singaporeair.com. Offer ends 26th of January. Terms and conditions apply.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulgutthealth.com/radio.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
20 minutes after 7 is the time. Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Henry Reilly, on LBC. Ty, coming to you in a moment. Plus, we'll get the latest on the story that dominating the front pages. We brought it to you first here on LBC. Dozens dead in a New Year inferno at a Swiss ski bar. We'll come to that in just a moment. First, though, front pages of the newspapers. The I paper, at least 40 dead and 115 injured after fire hit Swiss ski resort, as I mentioned. The Times also goes with that story. Dozens die in New Year inferno at a Swiss ski bar. The Daily Telegraph, horror at New Year's Eve, is the story on their front page, plus a picture from inside as well that the paper's got. The Daily Telegraph say, according to a witness, a barmaid carried on the shoulders of a colleague held a champagne bottle topped with a sparkler above her head, which ignited the basement ceiling, which appeared to be covered in highly flammable foam insulation. Footage then showed the flames rapidly spreading along the ceiling above the bar as the music continued to play. The Daily Mail, again, champagne sparklers blamed for inferno that cost 47 lives. The Sun with the same story, as does the Star. And the Guardian features that story, but also reflects that Zoran Mamdani has vowed to reinvent New York on his inauguration, his first day as mayor, promising a new era for America's largest city. And he chose Bernie Sanders to be the person who inaugurated him, for want of a better phrase. The Financial Times, SpaceX, OpenAI and Anthropic hold out promise of 2026 listings bonanza. The three most valuable U.S. private equity tech companies... private US tech company. I can't even read it properly. Are preparing for public offerings as early as this year, raising hopes of record revenues for their investors and advertisers. The Daily Express and the Daily Mirror again go with the story of the fire. 7:23 is the time. Ty is in Clapham. Hello, Ty.
Good morning to you. Happy New Year to you, Harry.
And to you, sir.
Harry, this innuendo needs to stop.
What does?
It's a purely simple innuendo. All this talk about economy and people. Now, this is what they were saying.
This is what people are experiencing.
No. People are not experiencing that. It's a pure innuendo. I don't know. Now, let me explain this to you quickly.
Go on.
Now, this is what they were saying. Some people who have been getting salary increase,
yes,
now up to £50,000,
huh?
Nobody talks about child benefit that they're entitled to. Nobody talks about the maternity pay they were entitled to. They will get an increase and they will be losing £500 in 2030, 2031, 5 years' time.
Who will? The people going into that higher rate bracket?
That is what they were saying.
Yeah.
So why would I be worried about what's going to happen? When you remember when that American president, the new one, comes in? You know how it turned everything upside
Donald
down?
Donald Trump, yes.
Yeah, so we were talking about they're going to be losing £500 in 6 years' time.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen in 2 years' time?
Well,
now, let me tell you
all
this.
Right.
The Labour Party, I told you, you should see on your record there, in 2024 when they won the election, I said to LBC, I said, you would not be able to see what Labour Party is doing when it comes to financial statement, because they have to stick with what the Tory did for 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is 2026 April. You're going to see what Labour Party is doing this year from April. That is when you will see Labour Party. So what they do is this. Then they got all this. You're talking about pensioners and the people, they increasing their pay and this and that. They make it a workplace country. That's not true. That man you spoke to earlier explained this to you.
John
the
McTurnan.
Between 12,000 and £50,000. Why should anybody be compared? We're not food in this country.
But the thresholds are frozen, Ty. If you go into that 12,000 bracket,
that's right.
Till 2030.
Yes, that is 4 years' time. Yeah. This is 2026. This is 2nd January.
Yeah, I know, but it's frozen. So people are going to end up being dragged into tax thresholds, Ty.
Well, but you are telling that these people are going to get increase in their salaries. That's the real English of what you're saying.
Yeah, they're going to be increasing their salaries, and then they're going to be taxed.
When you reach
come on, Ty, you know that.
Come on, now we need to stop pulling these 18 months of government down. They're doing the best. 14 years, you people are there. None of you speak for 14 years. But leave Labour Party alone. They're doing what they can do. They need, why do you want them to clear a mess of 14 years in 18 months? What's going on here? We need to stop this stupid innuendo.
Okay.
It's rubbish.
Thank you, Ty. Appreciated. Ty there in Clapham. More calls in a moment. 0345 6060973. I mentioned earlier on about the travel disruption. Indeed, you heard the bulletin from Dave Goff a moment ago. Travel disruption expected as ice and snow grip the UK. And I was enjoying listening to your calls on Ian Payne's programme where you're talking about where the various points of snow are. Dave Goff is LBC's travel reporter. Joins me now. Dave, where are the areas to look out for people? Good morning.
Good morning, Henry. Yeah, it looks like it's pretty busy across the UK in little spots here and there because of snow. Starting in Greater Manchester, the M60 anti-clockwise was closed earlier between Junction 1 for the Stockport Pyramid and Junction 25 for Bridlington. I can tell you that is open again. There's still one lane closed for some repairs. There is still snow there, though. Cheshire and Derbyshire, the one of the classics that's always closed when the snow comes along, the A537, the Cat and Fiddle Road, that's closed between Macclesfield and Buxton. Then in Scotland, the snow gates are closed in Aberdeenshire. The A93 is closed both ways between Braemar and the Spittle of Glenshee. Also in Moray, the A939 closed between Tomintown and Cockbridge. But then as we head to the south-east, East Sussex looks like it's getting the snow pretty bad. The A26, the Eridge Road northbound, that's very slow from Crowborough to Eridge Green. Also in East Sussex, the A267 is closed at Heathfield at the Crossing Hand. That's because of snow. Also Nutley, the A22 northbound, very slow around Witch Cross. And Wales doesn't escape the snow either so far this morning. Gwynedd, the A55 just about passable because of snow between Junction 14 at Madryn and Junction 11 at Bethesda.
Thank you very much, Dave. More updates from Dave Goff throughout the course of the morning here on LBC. Dave is LBC's travel reporter. Andrew says the triple lock is the highest of the three, not the lowest. Oh yeah, I thought I was saying minimum, so I sort of said it in a roundabout way, Andrew, but you're right. It's the highest of earnings, 2.5% or inflation. And Vivian says, stop putting pensioners with benefits claimants. The pension is not a benefit. We've paid in since 16 years old. And if the government makes an increase in it, then it's our tax. It doesn't give us much of an increase anyway. Stop trashing the pensioners. I'm not. I'm just saying that it's not my fault it's lumped in with the DWP budget. That's how it works. They do the welfare bill as pensions being in there. So it's not me, Vivian. And also this stuff about paying in, I know that you've paid in and I understand that and I support that, but it's sort of not how it works. It's the generation of today paying for your pensioners. Let's just get that straight. 7:28 is the time. As I mentioned, I was going through the front pages. At least 40 dead and 115 injured is the front of the eye paper after a fire hit Swiss ski resort. Fraser Knight, our reporter, gave us updates throughout the course of yesterday and joins me again this morning with the very latest. Morning, Fraser.
Morning, Henry. There's a really agonising wait now for the families of those victims. Officials have said that it will take days to identify them. As you say, at least 40 killed, 115 seriously injured and in hospital. hospital. And we know now that most of those victims were young people. This was a bar, a New Year's party, where the fire started spreading in Crans-Montana at around 1:30 in the morning. Last night, the president of Switzerland, Guy Parmelin, said this could be one of the country's worst disasters.
Their lives should be honoured for what they were. Promise, energy, a part of our shared future. We owe it to them to respect them. We owe it to their memory to make sure that such a tragedy never happens again.
And of course, all questions really asking how this fire started. There have been lots of reports from eyewitnesses inside the bar of sparklers inside bottles that were used as they were served. There has been videos which appear to show one of the waitresses holding that bottle up and then the flame taking hold in the ceiling, spreading very, very quickly. Now, that has not been confirmed by officials. They say they still have a long way to go as part of that investigation. But certainly that is where the suggestion is coming that this fire took hold, killing more than 40 people, 115 others seriously injured. And now European countries stepping up efforts to offer support and even places in their hospitals after we reported yesterday that the local hospital in Valle in Switzerland was at capacity. So a really, really distressing picture that's been painted here and people describing it as scenes like a horror film.
Thank you, Fraser. Appreciate it. And for your updates yesterday as well. Fraser Knight is LBC's reporter with the very latest there. Back to the subject with which we started. Reeves quietly hammering workers with tax threshold freeze, think tank warns. A centre-right think tank, happy to put that on the record. Gervais says the income... the income threshold freeze was meant to be lifted, but Labour extended it. Why does he think it won't get extended again? Well, the Tories extended it to 2028, the threshold freeze, and Labour carried it on. Brendan says if someone will be moving into the £50,000 threshold, can this be avoided by an employer giving monthly vouchers? I don't really know, to be honest. I'm sure there'll be some ways around it. And Tony says, Onslaught plays terrible football and should have been sacked 2 months ago. Useless. I think that might be meant for another radio station. But yeah, Liverpool disappointed, I'm sure, with that 0-0 draw against Leeds. Yeah, against Leeds yesterday. More calls in a moment, plus...
For many people, it has become getting the medication as cheaply as possible.
Pharmacies urge patients to avoid criminal weight loss jab sellers in predicted New Year's surge in demand. I was also reading 1 in 10 people happy to buy weight loss jabs off TikTok, would you believe? And...
IKEA, the wonderful everyday.
Yes, good news if you like an IKEA, because it could be coming to a high street near you. More small shops planned for the retailer. We'll give you the latest in a moment. 7:31 the time, the news with Lucinda Horsley.
Authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify many victims of a fire at a New Year party in a Swiss ski resort. Around 40 people died and more than 100 were injured when it broke out at a bar in Crans-Montana. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. From today, it will be offered to babies aged between 12 and 18 months across the UK as part of the combined MMR jab. The number of first-time buyers is estimated to have risen by nearly a fifth in a year. Figures show 390,000 mortgage transactions in 2025. LBC weather, cold with heavy snow showers across northern Scotland. Sunshine further south, but cold everywhere with highs of 6 degrees.
I'm Tom Swarbrick. Thank you for your calls throughout the year on LBC.
Because our young girls approach these foreign guys. And
so it's up to the girls to not approach people who they think might be foreign. What is that girl meant to... don't laugh, you despicable man. Why are you blaming a 15-year-old girl?
Living as a woman doesn't make you a woman.
I trust people to be an expert in their own gender. If someone has been living as a woman for 15 years...
What does that mean, living as a woman?
I don't really know how I can answer the question again.
It's not about timeline.
Because
it's
you
not
said about 90 calendar. Days, Mr. Hooker. The president said 90
days. Let me answer the question and don't interrupt me.
I'll choose when I speak. Please carry on.
Then this interview is terminated.
I'll be back next week. Taking your calls on LBC.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Frontera Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders ends 12th of January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
Calling all young creatives.
It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 991234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Hello, this is my mum's work phone. I've re-recorded her voicemail because I'm 8 and I've never had a holiday where she hasn't been distracted by work. This hotel has 2 pools and 3 water slides, and she promised to take me shopping. So, before you leave her a message, maybe don't.
Take your holiday seriously. British Airways Holidays. Atoll protected.
This is LBC. Message Henry Reilly on WhatsApp now. 0345 60 60 973.
7:35 is the time. Good morning. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC. Lots of messages coming in on the reports, which we started talking about. Reeves quietly hammering workers with tax threshold freeze. So says the CPS, the Centre for Policy Studies think tank. Centre-right think tank, but nonetheless a warning about those who have been dragged into tax thresholds. Someone earning £50,000 today would be £505 worse off in real terms. So says that particular think tank. Let's stay in a related story and get the business news with Russ Mould, who's investment director at AJ Bell. Russ, good morning to you. Are you back from Lyon or where?
That's kind of me to ask. We got back, but the flight back was delayed by 7 hours.
Good.
Just to cap it all off. So we got home at, we spent New Year's Eve at a shut down Lyon airport and got back to Brighton at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, there's no need to show off. it sounds like you've had quite the Christmas period. So thank you, Russ.
Epic journey. I'm looking forward to watching The Odyssey to see how we compare next when that film comes out this year.
Russ, there's changes for drivers in London. Tell us more.
There are. It's the new electric vehicle, the new congestion charge rates come in, and the electric vehicles are subject to that for the first time as of today. So there was a 100% discount for electric vehicles for those in the congestion zone in London. That discount goes down to 25%. So you're now paying, I think it's £13.50, and the vans and lorries discount goes down to 50%, which takes it to £9. And that is of today, as per the announcements from Sadiq Khan last November.
If you have a fair bit of money, you can now buy Brighton Pier. And this is the old one has been on sale. Was it famously on sale for £1, I think, quite a few years ago? The brand spanking newish Palace Pier is now up for sale.
The Palace Pier is the one that's still standing, unlike the West Pier that burnt down quite a few years ago. I think Palace Pier, brand new is not quite right. I think it was built in the 1890s, but
compared
it's still
to the West Pier.
Yeah, compared to the West Pier, it's in immaculate condition. It is up for sale. It was bought by the Eclectic Bar Company nearly a decade ago for £18 million. That's now busy selling off assets. It's had a tough time with UK tourism, vagaries of UK weather, and all of the cost increases we've been hearing about for national insurance and wages. So they've put the Brighton Pier up for sale. No disclosed price. You're going to have to contact the estate agent for that. But the valuation of the asset has been marked down to about £14 million in the company's account. So I guess that's probably your starting point.
You're putting in an offer, Russ?
No, I do like walking up and down it, though. And as a resident, I don't have to pay the £2 charge to get on either, which is quite nice.
Is it busy? I used to love going on Brighton Pier when I was younger and doing all the sort of 2p machines and 10p.
Yeah,
is it still busy?
Our kids are 16 and 18. We don't visit it as much as we used to, if the truth be told. But I do like going up and down it for a wander, I have to say.
I think I remember there was a Doctor Who exhibition on there when I was a lot younger.
I went to that. Yes,
did you?
I enjoyed that enormously.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember that. I thought it was Brighton Pier. Lastly, those who are fans of IKEA, say it how you like, may be in luck, because we had that sort of success of the Oxford Street small IKEA, and it looks like that's going to become a bit of a trend.
Yeah, 214 Oxford Street, which is the old Topshop building, that seems to have been going extremely well. And there's one in Brighton in a Debenham Centre, actually in the Churchill Centre, that's going well. So the boss of the UK the arm of our IKEA, the Swedish firm, is saying they are looking at more in-town areas rather than the big out-of-town stores. One, I guess it gives them access to more customers and gives more people a chance to go more easily. But two, there is a a bit of a budget tax angle here. Remember, under the last budget, business rates go up on those buildings with a rateable value of more than £500,000. So IKEA is looking at buildings that fall below that bracket to manage its business rates bill.
Thank you, Ross. Ross Mould, safe travel to wherever you're off to next. Investment director at AJ Bell. Lee says, patriotic millionaires, that's an organisation, by the way, are begging for a wealth tax. Why aren't Labour listening and making it happen? Make that question an hour's phone-in topic. Well, we have. And also, if you look at some of the areas it's been implemented, a wealth tax, it doesn't seem to work particularly well. Tony and Barnum says, Labour will be kicked out of the next election, so it will all change. Well, yeah, but the thresholds will still be frozen, won't they? And Giles says, this government is bashing workers and business to pay for the growing pensioner bill. In 1996, we had 3.5 workers per pensioner. By 2042, due to the ageing population, this ratio will be down to 2.5. Is that right? If nothing changes, then this needs a 40% increase in tax from workers. Means the means test estate pension and change the NHS funding model, says Giles. Marilyn's in Chadwell Heath. Hello, Marilyn.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
Yes. What it is, I am really concerned for everybody. I worry. I mean, I don't work. I mean, I'm 76 now. But I worry for everyone. I see it every day. Because, can you imagine, first of all, the income tax, you know, you get charged after £12,500. And so, basically, that should be brought up at least to £20,000. Then everything you buy, Harry, most things have got, like I bought a new shopping trolley, it's £30 VAT. You imagine the millions and billions of people, paying the VAT, and there is money here, there is money, I do not believe there's not money, and it would be far better for people to be spending their money and, getting depressed because they haven't got enough money. It would be far cost effective to give people more money.
No, not really. How would you give people more money?
What do you mean you don't? Well, Harry, have you not worked that out? If you don't pay tax till after £20,000 earned, that's a little bit more money.
Yeah, sure.
So if you can obviously work that part out. So, and also to basically, just help people, like, now, for example, in London, the congestion charge has gone up to £18.
I know.
£18. You know, you've got the ULEZ, you've got loads of things that should be... The ULEZ was too high in the first place. There was never going to be ULEZ. It should never be...
Ultra-low emission zone, just to remind people, yeah.
You imagine all them things. Everything people pay out, you're saying, how? I mean, rents are so high. If people are renting, then they've got the council tax. Everything is... I'm okay. We've got no mortgage. Yeah, I'm okay. But I worry for everybody else. You can see it. Can I tell you something, Harry? Listen to this.
Go on, Margaret. Tell me.
I feel sorry for. Now, why are you calling me Margaret for?
Because you're calling me Harry. But it's fine. Don't worry.
What is your name?
It's Henry.
Darling?
But don't worry. I was only playing.
Well, I like both names. Don't worry. I hate the name Margaret.
I won't call you that.
Called Margaret Johnson when I was a kid. Sorry. I tied it to the lamppost. But
whoa,
I think she forgave me.
Why did you do that?
I know. It was bad. But anyway, I was only about eight. Anyway.
Margaret's listening, call in, because we need to get the pair of you to talk
alive.
Again.
She's still alive. I've heard that she's on Facebook, and she asked how I am, apparently.
Really?
I don't do Facebook.
She's very forgiving, isn't she? My goodness.
Hang on, you've thrown me off of what I was going to say.
Sorry.
What was the last bit you said? What was the last bit you said?
I can't remember now.
Come on. What was it? I've got it ready. What is
that's all right. You can just stay on the line, Marilyn, and we can occasionally check in with you.
Listen, Henry, listen to me. Right, I'm worried for pubs now. It's a nice social event for people to go and meet. Now, we went to a pub, me and my husband, for a nice little lunch.
Okay.
We had a lovely dinner, my husband
meal,
had a pint of Guinness. I had tea, because I don't drink alcohol anymore since 3 years. And then I had a dessert. My husband had he'd eaten, but he was still hungry. He ordered a pizza, which was off the sort of special deals menu. The whole lot with two teas, a pint of Guinness, the whole lot was £35. That is ridiculous. What are they going to earn out of that?
I know, and the thing is as well, pubs is the subject for the next hour, Marilyn. You've led me neatly into it. Thank you. I'm way over time, but thank you very much. Marilyn in Chadwell Heath there. Thanks for being a good sport, Marilyn. More calls on that in a moment. 0345 6060973. In a different story, I mentioned this earlier on, pharmacies are urging patients to avoid criminal weight loss jab sellers in a predicted surge in demand. Oliver Pickard is chair of the National Pharmacies Association and joins me now. How much of an issue are these unregulated weight loss jabs, Oliver? Morning.
Oh, good morning. It's Olivia.
My apologies.
I'll call you Harry from now.
Yes. I get everyone's name wrong this morning. Olivier, tell me more. Apologies.
Yes, thank you. So, I mean, obviously this is January and it's a time of year where people are maybe a little bit more health conscious. And a recent YouGov poll has revealed that as many as 6% of all adults are likely to start using weight loss jab. 9% of 25 to 49-year-old. This is a very high number. You know, at the peak of last year, we were seeing 1.5 million people a month using the medication. We predict this will go up to 3.3 million people from this month in 2026. So, yes, a huge increase. Problem, fake sellers, fake website, and we know these exist. Since the price increase of Mounjaro, a lot of people are looking for the cheapest medication possible, which leads to criminal gangs trying to lure people into getting stock. And unfortunately, for those who access a fake website, they don't know what they're getting. I've got stories of patients who've been given pure insulin rather than weight loss jab, ended up in the hospital. I've got an example of a patient who came to me recently. She got the medication online. Despite me offering the service in my pharmacy, she still went online because it was £10 cheaper. That young lady is 25 years of age, and she's having a gallbladder out because she was given no wraparound care around the medication that she was getting. So we're really urging patients to be sensible. You know, you wouldn't go to your personal trainer for antibiotic. I'm not sure why people would for weight loss medication.
And there's a latest story in the Telegraph today. 1 in 10 Brits would buy weight loss jabs on social media platforms such as TikTok if they're unable to obtain a subscription from their doctor. What is the advice to people, Olivier?
The advice is, as I say, you wouldn't get your antibiotic from your personal trainer or TikTok. So the same applies to this medication. If you want to access medication for weight loss because lifestyle and exercise isn't working for you, this is well possible, but it has to be done through regulated pharmacies or regulated doctors. This can be online or face-to-face, by the way, but it needs to have a wraparound care. It needs to have a follow-up. It needs to have a consultation with a clinician that can help and advise on possible side effects. The General Pharmaceutical Council and the General Medical Council list all healthcare professionals in UK, and it's easy enough for patients to check. But if they're unsure, walking into your local independent pharmacy is probably going to be the safest way.
Thank you very much for your time. Olivier Picard is chair of the National Pharmacy Association. You might have views on weight loss drugs. Heather, coming to you in a moment on a different story with regards to Rachel Reeves. Joseph says, not all pensioners are living in luxury. My state pension is £880 per month. My private pension has become less for the last few years because of the tax threshold freeze and is currently less than £270 per month and will continue to fall on top of bills and rising costs. It is difficult. And Brian says, oh my God, what has gone wrong with the show this morning? Please bring Mick Ferrari back. He'll be back. Nick will be back on Monday. 7:47 the time, the news with Lucinda Horsley.
Authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify many victims of a fire at a New Year party in a Swiss ski resort. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. Snow warnings have been upgraded from yellow to amber for parts of the UK. Forecasts to say Scotland could see up to 40 centimetres. LBC weather cold with heavy snow showers across northern Scotland, sunshine further south, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow in Ealing. The North Circular is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. That also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. There were queues in Perivale on the A40 going out of town. That's because of emergency repairs at the Medway underpass where it's down to one lane. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road. In Cheam, Northy Road is closed both ways near St Paul's Church. That's because of an accident. On the trains, Southern have no service between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction because of problems with the overhead lines, and there's no service on South Eastern at Charing Cross or Waterloo East. That's because of engineering works until Monday.
LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
This is LBC.
This was made with human intelligence.
And artificial intelligence.
Just like Intuit QuickBooks business management software. Why? Because when you're working in a growing business, complexity
grows too.
So new QuickBooks AI gives you real-time cash flow visibility
to make the most of opportunities. It's amazing.
I was going to say that. I'll do it with Intuit QuickBooks.
You know how fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because sound is the most effective way to tell the players they're rubbish. Works in advertising too. Because when you amplify your advertising using radio, your campaign is 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Now, I'm as guilty as anyone when it comes to ignoring things. Rogue grey hairs, red flags in relationships, or that service reminder on your car dash. Luckily, that one's easy. Visit Cinch for fat-free servicing at over 100 locations. Any car, whether you bought it from Cinch or not. With MOTs, $39.95 and servicing from only $129.95. To book your service or buy your next car, visit cinch.co.uk. See cinch.co.uk/servicing for details. Terms and exclusions apply.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. Beat the blues and book the beach with up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
The famous five are at home and Julian could barely contain his excitement. Why are you so excited? Asked George. Is it your birthday? Is it snowing? Asked Dick. Are we having treacle sponge tonight? Asked Anne.
No, said Julian. It's the Great GWR Getaway Sale.
The Great GWR Getaway Sale is now on. Hurry, book before January 5th at gwr.com or on the app. Great Western Railway. Adventures start here. Terms apply, selected routes only. Travel by April 10th.
Henry Riley on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:51 is the time. Good morning, Henry Riley with you here on LBC. Marilyn mentioned Margaret, by the way. It's the last thing I'm going to say about this. But if Margaret is listening, I would like to hear, and we'd love to get you two to speak again on the phone line or on a future show. So Margaret, if you are listening, give us a call. 0345 6060973. Heather, coming to you on the subject of tax, or sort of more interestingly, the warning to Rachel Reeves from one particular think tank in a moment. First though, the second highest number of channel crossings by migrants was recorded last year. That's because we had the figures yesterday for the last day of 2025. John Vine is the former UK Independent Chief Inspector of Borders and Immigration and joins me now. Thank you very much for joining us, John. I know you've spoken a lot about this matter on LBC and we're always grateful, but is this going to be as much of an issue next year, or do you think we'll start to see, because of deals with France and because of various other measures, will we start to see channel crossings come down overall, do you think?
Well, good morning. Good morning, Henry. And Happy New Year to you.
And to you. And to you.
I'm not entirely sure we will. At the moment, it seems as though we're on an upward trend. I mean, the highest number was in 2022, but we're only 4,000 people off that figure. So 41,500 people crossed last year. Last year.
Even I had to think about that.
I have to think about that. But What needs to happen is they need to get the French police to start intervening with these taxi boats. At the moment, the French police are refusing to do that on health and safety grounds. And they need to decide what they're going to do with the one-in, one-out scheme, which is dealing with penny numbers at the moment, less than 200 so far involved in that scheme. And if that's going to be a real deterrent, they're going to have to ramp that up considerably.
Is it a deterrent at the moment at a small scale?
Well, I'm not sure it is, and I'm not sure how they're evaluating it. I welcomed it because I think for the first time, having France receive people back is a good first start. But it needs to affect far more people than has been the case at the moment, because people will calculate that the chances of them being returned are going to be so minimal that they'll take the risk anyway.
And there were warnings in the last few days about unions in France effectively telling people not to, or the gendarmes, not to take people out of the water in a lot of cases because they might be liable. So even in France, it doesn't seem to be enforced.
No, I think the problem for frontline police officers is that they need to have confidence that their leaders and the politicians will stand behind them if something awful happens while they're trying to operationalise this policy as they're sat in the water there.
Mm. What needs to be done, John? I know you get asked this question an awful lot by me and my colleagues, but is there anything else beyond the France one-in-one-out scheme that you would be advising the government or recommending?
Well, what the government has announced is that it's going to take through Parliament legislation to actually change the nature of asylum, provide temporary asylum, and to change the nature of nationality in the UK, you know, have a much longer period for people to qualify for nationality. And I think those things will have an effect in being a deterrent to some degree, but it will take far more time than I think the government have. So I think they need to decide whether one in, one out is the way forward. If that's not going to happen, if it's not going to be a deterrent, and they need to evaluate that, I think, before the people start crossing in numbers again from May this year, then they need to think of something else.
Thank you, John. As always, John Vine was the former UK Independent Chief Inspector of Borders and Immigration. 7:56 is the time. VJ says it's not the triple lock for the pensioner that's the problem. It's the idle people drawing benefits that is the problem, says VJ. This from Roger says, how the hell are prescribed this is with regards to weight loss. How the hell are prescribed medications available on the internet? Surely our government could outlaw this dangerous trade in the same way it outlawed the sale of knives, says Roger in Brentwood. Yeah, to some extent, but I mean, unfortunately, it's difficult to regulate the internet, full stop, isn't it? You can still buy, unfortunately, as we sort of many journalists find, you can still buy things that are banned online because it's so difficult to regulate. Peter says, we're loving the callers, what the callers are saying this morning, strong opinions of which are a measure of what real people are really thinking about how much money they don't have under this government. And this is another one from Vivian who says, you summed it up. We worked, put money into a pension pot for the pensioners. So when we retire, we drew from the pension pot. I worked from 16 till 78. I stopped to childmine my grandchildren so they could work. Or this is in their parents. Now the government are saying it was a benefit. It never was before. Heather's in Gough's Oak. Hello, Heather.
Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Is that I can't tell if this is a joke or if I'm being trolled this morning. Hello, Heather.
No, you're not being trolled, but we had a joke. You called me.
We did, I know.
I called you, yeah.
I remember.
And also, I don't know why Global doesn't get it right. You are on my screen. I've got your photo ID, but I think it's a photo ID. I hope it's not AI.
Has it got a beard? You can call it a beard.
I don't know you. I think it's you. Okay. I don't know for sure. But you are on as Ian Payne.
Well, that's fine.
Ian
I'm honoured.
With your picture. Yep.
Has it got a beard, the picture? Like a goatee?
Little goatee, yeah.
Yeah, well, then that's me. That's me. Not Ian Payne.
Anyway, what I'm going to say is I've got a close circle of friends. I trust them more than I trust the government, more than I trust anybody. The House of Commons is a joke. It's all sort of like it's school children in a literal school assembly, all arguing, all shouting out, all being told to be quiet. I don't trust anybody. Everybody pays taxes on everything they do. It's like having air to breathe. We all pay taxes in one way or another.
Yeah.
So I'm ambivalent. You know, I'm not saying, you know, the people that don't work are lazy because some of them are, some of them aren't. I'm not saying the people that work shouldn't complain. But I say, I don't trust anybody apart from the people I know who have better opinions on how the world should be than the people who are in government.
Well, you've got your very own focus group there. What are they telling you about how this government's getting on 18 months in?
Well, they're a joke. But every government is a joke. Every government is a joke. They're all just fighting. You know, I'm better than you. You're better than... It's like being in the playground.
Mm. And what needs to happen, do you think, this year, Heather, to turn it around, if anything?
I just think we should all be kind to people and we should all do the best we can and be good.
That's a nice way of putting it. Thank you, Heather, in Gofsoke. Much appreciated. More calls on that later on. I'm sure we are going to move on, though, coming up.
It's going to reach so many children, young people, keeping them healthy, making sure their parents don't have to take weeks off work.
A chickenpox jab for all as a trial offers vaccines at home. What's not to like? Plus...
In 2024, thousands of people turned out to a fake New Year's Eve firework display in Birmingham. And this year, well, it happened all over again. I'm LBC's George Ike with the story.
Gotta feel sorry for them, haven't you? And...
We're running out of money, we're running out of road, and it's just totally depressing. The MPs are not interested.
Figures show that one pub a day shut last year as the industry blames a lack of help. Why is no one stepping in to stop the decline of the tavern? It very much is one of those things you don't know what you've got till it's gone. We'll discuss that after the news at 8 o'clock right here on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock. Authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify victims of a New Year fire at a Swiss ski resort. Around 40 people died and more than 100 others were injured when it broke out in Kron, Montana yesterday. Switzerland is holding 5 days of national mourning. Times journalist David Shazan has told LBC the official cause of the fire hasn't been revealed.
Witnesses' accounts point as a tragic accident, probably caused by a sparkler or a firework lit in the basement of this very popular bar called Le Constellation, which set the ceiling on fire and then spread very rapidly to the rest of the building.
A man and a woman are being questioned on suspicion of murdering a man on New Year's Eve in Greater Manchester. Police were called to reports of a stabbing in Bury just minutes before midnight. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. From today, it will be offered to babies aged between 12 and 18 months as part of the combined MMR jab. Snow warnings have been upgraded from yellow to amber across parts of the UK. Forecasters say areas of Scotland could see up to 40 centimetres on high ground from midday. LBC forecaster John Ketley says Arctic air is to blame for a prolonged cold snap.
We've got a big trough of cold air coming down from Lapland, really. So we are seeing these much colder winds swinging south. Now, not to say everybody's going to see some snow, but I think many places will in the next 5 days. But, of course, the main thing is, with this very much colder air, it's going to be much colder at night, so there will be a lot of frost around, a lot of ice.
World number two, Luke Humphreys, is out of the PDC World Darts Championship. He lost 5-1 in his quarter-final to Dutchman Gian van Veen. In the city, the FTSE 100 will start the day at 99.31 after closing down 9 points on New Year's Eve. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers across northern Scotland. Sunshine further south with a high of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lucinda Horsley.
Hey Sainsbury's, any way you can save me a few quid on my weekly shop?
Well, Jane, try Your Nectar Prices. Every week in Your Nectar app, you can unlock up to 10 personalised discounts on things you love at Sainsbury's. A Janesbury's, if you will.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Get personalised discounts with Your Nectar Prices. That's good food for all of us. Janesbury's. I mean Sainsbury's. 18 plus Nectar app required. Unlock up to 10 Your Nectar Prices weekly. Available in supermarkets, online and in locals with Smart Shop. TNCs apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
Good morning, 3 minutes past eight is the time. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC. One pub a day shut last year. That's what we're going to be discussing this hour. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. What can be done to save the tavern? We'll discuss. Also, that's the sound of the iconic Bluebird K7 back in the 1960s that saw Donald Campbell lose his life, the thrill seeker. Well, it's going to come back. Nearly 60 years, the iconic Bluebird K7. After that crash, Donald's daughter, Gina, will join us later on in the show. Also,
it's one of the few processes, other than being born and dying, that actually you are out of control.
That's Amanda Owen, the Yorkshire Shepherdess from our Yorkshire farm, who's revealed why she had a home birth for her eighth child, as you heard there. She couldn't be bothered to go to hospital. And the EastEnders and James Bond star who cried in court as he avoided a driving ban because of family health struggles. He did 24 in a 20 zone. If he had been penalised, he wouldn't have been able to drive to care for his sick wife. Should he have been let off?
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
4 minutes past eight the time. Good morning. Lovely to have your company. Henry Reilly with you here till 10 on LBC. Talking this hour about pubs. One pub a day disappeared for good in England and Wales during 2025 as sustained cost pressures continue to weigh heavily on the sector. Industry experts said the drastic situation for pubs ahead of higher property tax payments for many from next April. Now, the stats which were analysed by tax specialists at Ryan showed the overall number of pubs in England and Wales, including those vacant and being offered to let, fell to 38,623 from 38,989 a year earlier on. Now, the property tax expert from Ryan said these pubs have closed permanently, not temporarily. The buildings have been demolished or converted into housing, offices, nurseries, cafes, other uses. Once repurposed, they almost never return to pub use. And the figures highlighted a familiar tale we have told you here on LBC. You will have heard it elsewhere as well about pub closures because of the pressure on the hospitality sector having a noticeable impact. Almost 2,000 pubs have disappeared over the past 5 years, even though the pace of decline has marginally slowed. We'll talk with a couple of landlords in a moment. First, though, Michael Kill is CEO of the Nighttime Industries Association and joins me now. Michael, could you explain what are the pressures that many landlords and pub owners are facing at the moment? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning and Happy New Year.
And to you.
It's been a challenge since 2020, really. We've seen about a 30 to 40% increase in operating costs since then. Then we've coupled that with the consecutive autumn budgets that have not only increased taxation, but put up things like minimum wage, the NIC contribution position for employers, and then recently the business rates reform, which will come in on the 1st of April, has really been the sort of final nail in the coffin for many people to actually realise that things are unsustainable economically for many, not only pubs, but also nighttime economy businesses, whether you talk about clubs, restaurants, etc. So the challenge we have at the moment is the government have gone too far. It's very clear that the modelling is not right. And when you see things like Harrods save £1.1 million on their business rates bill and Selfridges save £662,000, and then we're seeing pubs increase their business rates bill by almost 200% in some cases, it's very clear that something's not right.
And there was a big comparison made at the time of the budget with supermarkets, for example, and their increase compared with many pubs, for example. What are those changes in business rates that have led to that, Michael?
Well, it's really the single multiplier. Now, the multiplier in isolation is fine, but I think the challenge that we have, and we've already had a 40% discount on our business rates position, but as you can appreciate, the cost of operating is quite intense at the moment. Now, when that new multiplier...
When was that 40% discount from? Was that from COVID?
That was from last
last year, right. the previous sort of budget period. So what's happened is that 40% discount has been replaced with a long-term multiplier at 43%. And the challenge that we have is the revaluations have come in much higher. Therefore, that many of these businesses, and it really depends on where you're situated, whether you're in a town centre, city centre, etc., that multiplier has now put ourselves in a position where many of those business rates bills have been inordinately increased, on average about 76% across the board. And what there is very clearly a position of is some of these bigger warehousing companies and bigger businesses have seen a saving, whereas pubs, restaurants, hotels, bars, etc. have seen a significant increase, and that's where the challenge is for us.
What needs to happen, do you think, Michael?
I think the Chancellor really does need to relook at the modelling. We do need something like a VAT cut, which is permanent, similar to what they've done in Europe. But I do think that the reform side in terms of business rates needs reevaluated, and the NIC contribution needs to be rolled back. I think we're in a position where we've been overtaxed. We have so much to give in terms of the recovery of the high streets and, you know, UK PLC, but it just seems that this government is just dismissing it at every point and just adding tax to it. At some point, things are going to break. And what we're seeing at the moment is Q1 next year is going to be that breaking point. We've already lost a third of nightclubs. As you say, we're losing one pub a day, and that's going to increase. The worry we have is VAT bills and landlords expect their quarter rent. We're going to see a lot of these keys being handed back to landlords because things are unsustainable as we see it at the moment.
Thank you, Michael. As always, Happy New Year. Michael Kill is CEO of the Nighttime Industries Association. Let's bring into the conversation Michael and Mark Ambrose, who are co-landlords of the Barking Cat Pub in Poole, which is facing a huge increase in their business rates. And they join me now. Are you in the pub garden? I can see you on my screen. Where are you?
We're in the pub.
You are in the pub itself. Brilliant. Yeah. Well, it's never too early to be in the pub, so as you both know. Could you talk me through, we're talking sort of more generally there, what are the issues that you face? I don't know who wants to take this on, Michael or Mark, on a financial point of view.
Mark. Our business rates are increasing 157%, which is up £9,000 a year, which is obviously going to hit us pretty hard, along with the national insurance rises that we took on the last budget, the minimum wage rise on the last budget, the minimum wage rise coming in, along with beer duty increasing as well. It's kind of like a tsunami of costs against us. We run on sort of very tight margins anyway, and this just wipes it out.
Staying with you, Mark, you said that the business rates are £9,000 a year higher. Why is there such that massive? Why is that jump so big?
Because the business, because the rateable values have increased so much. The whole system's been a bit skewed, hasn't it? We've got massive increases in our rateable values, whereas the local Tesco's, Sainsbury's, the smaller stores, they're seeing either the same figures or they've got less, no increases on their business rates. So the independent businesses seem to be footing the bill, whereas the big companies aren't. And it's the wrong way round. The government is supposed to be helping up smaller businesses and taxing the bigger businesses higher.
Michael, can I bring you in? What would you like to see the government do to help you guys out? What would actually make a difference?
Well, really, I mean, to reverse those proposed changes onto the likes of Green King, Tesco, Stonegate, who can not only shoulder the burden of this particular budget, but can also afford to. It's not too late for this government to really reverse course on this. We can't shoulder that particular burden as independent pubs. It really needs to go back onto those larger players in the industry. The increases that are sort of coming along. Sorry about me.
Sorry, have a sip. Go on.
They've sort of supplied their own sort of advice to the government, and the government hasn't really done their own research on the subject. So they just, yeah, they really need to, they need to be absorbing these costs and,
That's the bigger business.
This obviously, you guys are still operating at the Barking Cat, and good luck to you. And I hope it's you know, it all goes well. What of other pubs, though? I don't know what the situation's like in Poole or that area, but when you do hear these figures of pubs, these real pillars of the community, closing, it must be awfully sort of depressing for you guys.
Well, yeah, we seem to have come off lucky with 157% increase. Yeah. You know, we've got some local pubs with, I think one's got 500%, one's got 600%, one's got 800% increase. You know, so, you know, and they're all small pubs, they're all small businesses. You know, you're not looking at figures across the board where big pub co's got massive increases. Some of them are still level to what they were last time. It's small business which is being affected, and we employ such a huge amount of people in the sector that with so many pubs, you know, you're losing one a day at the moment. I mean, that's going to massively increase next year. As soon as April hits, it's like the end of the world. I know of a couple of pubs locally that the owners are now putting their own money back into the business. They can't afford to pay a wage for themselves, and the chances of them surviving next year are pretty much zero unless the Chancellor does something to reverse what she's set out in the budget, or VAT is reduced. They can't leave these small businesses to just go away. You know, we've got enough vape shops on the high street and empty stores, you know, so it's going to be so many more empty businesses and a sea of vape shops, probably.
Back to you, Michael. How busy has this period been over Christmas? Because I know this a lot of hospitality businesses do rely on this period. What's footfall been like at the Barking Cat?
Well, footfall here has been absolutely amazing, absolutely outstanding over Christmas, lead up to Christmas and into the new year. We've probably seen two of our biggest weeks on the run since we opened. So with this upcoming budget coming in, we just know that we're going to take a massive hit, and there are going to be pubs that aren't quite as, maybe with such a good footfall as we have, being where we are in an urban area, especially, you're going to see a lot of pubs in the countryside probably going down the pan as well. In April, when it does come in, it's going to be going up 30 to 50 pence per pint, it's a heck of a lot to sort of shoulder. And it's not just for us, it's for the customers as well. They've got to shoulder a huge burden there.
Well, if anyone's in the pool area, what have you got on tap at the moment? You've got any nice ales on, or what's on at the moment?
We have, 24 lines, 8 real ales, varying in strength, colour, style, IPAs, stouts, goody.
What time do you open?
12 o'clock today.
Right. I think I can get there. Thank you, guys. Appreciated. That's Michael and Mark Ambrose, co-landlords of the Barking Cat pub in Poole, which is facing an increase in business rates of nearly £9,000 per year. If you do work in the sector, I'd really like to hear from you. If you are in a community that's been affected, i.e. you've had just a local shut down, I mean, we have seen in some cases sort of cooperatives open to try and stop pubs closing. Would you mourn the loss of your local tavern, your local inn? 0345 6060973. And if you do work in the sector, what are those challenges? We heard that some are facing business rate increases of 600% in some cases, which does seem to me to be completely crazy. Do the politicians just not get it? And of course, as we've seen, many Labour MPs actually being banned from some pubs as well. 8:17 the time, the news headlines with Lucinda Horsley.
Authorities say many of those killed in a ski resort fire were so badly burned they'll need to be identified by DNA or dental records. A man and woman are being questioned on suspicion of murdering a man on New Year's Eve in Greater Manchester. A new vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. LBC weather, cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers in northern Scotland, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel Line, Dave Goff. There are delays in Ealing. The North Circular is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. That also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. There are queues in Perivale on the A40 going out of town because of emergency repairs at the Medway underpass, where it's down to one lane. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road. There are queues in Chipstead. Castle Road westbound is blocked between Elmore Road and Outwood Lane because of cars broken down. On the trains, Southern have no service between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction because of problems with the overhead lines. And on the tube, there are severe delays on the District Line between Barking and Upminster.
This is LBC.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Fonterra Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders until the January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
This is LBC.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest, you probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
When you're smiling.
Don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
Banningdental.co.uk.
Hello. You've reached the voicemail of Holiday Rebecca. She's a bit like work Rebecca, except her stress headache is gone. Her frown lines have faded, and instead of hunching over a desk with a meal deal, she's enjoying fresh, hand-rolled pasta for lunch. If you require work Rebecca, please try again in about 10 days.
Take your holiday seriously. British Airways Holidays. Atoll protected.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car? Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Fonterra Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders until the January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
Henry Riley on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
The technicals of this pub story are basically that the rateable value is going up massively. So for supermarkets, for example, it's going up pretty minimally. I think in some cases a few percentage points for some of the small ones. But if you are a pub, I mean, we heard from two landlords then, it's going up by 157%, in some cases 600%. So said the landlords that we just spoke with over in Poole. And the rateable, I won't get too technical by the way, but the rateable value is the annual level of trade that your pub is expected to achieve if it's operated efficiently. So it's based on the type of pub or the licensed premises. If it's going up by that much, in addition to alcohol duty and whatnot, then there's no wonder that we're seeing one pub a year close. Have you, I mean, if you do work in the sector, I know I said this before, but if you are in a pub, I mean, maybe not now, although I think some pubs are open at this time. If you are in a pub working, or a landlord, or maybe you used to own a pub, what are those challenges? Is this just a worst case scenario that we are painting? Or when we tell you that one pub a day has closed, according to stats, and that there are huge increases in the rateable value for a lot of these premises, then what actually can be done? And would you mourn the loss of the pub in your area? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. I really would. I think they're so valuable, having a pub. Purely, obviously, to see friends, it's important. I was supporting the economy of Putney High Street pubs yesterday. I went to a few and had a a couple of drinks at lunchtime, and they are just a place where you can go, have a chat with people, have a catch-up. I think particularly for some who are lonely, for men in particular we speak about, who often are not the best at opening up. I know that's a generalisation, but a lot of the time it is true. And I think it's so important for people to be able to talk and to have that space, to be able to be able to share, really, and to get stuff off their chest. Ben's in Skipton. Hello, Ben.
Hello, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Very well, thank you. What would you like to tell me?
So don't think it's just the taxis that are killing off the pubs. The actual owners, so not the breweries, but the owners, that charge a specific amount to buy things from them. So, for example, there's one specific chain that charges £55 for 24 bottles of Budweiser. Now, the pub has no choice but to buy from them. The same in the supermarket, it's less than £20.
Yeah. A massive price disparity, isn't there?
Massive, yeah. That difference there is a lot more than what taxes or anything like that that would make the difference. So for me, the actual owners of the pubs are doing more damage than the government.
Mm. Do you work in this sector, Ben?
Partly, part-time.
Can I ask what you do?
Well, I actually work for the gas board, but I also part-time pub.
Right, got it. And what's the sort of situation like in have you seen many pubs close down where you are?
Yes. I mean, in Skipton, not too bad because it's like a market town and people do travel to come to see, so it isn't. But the little surrounding villages, yeah, definitely, they shut down and somebody else will then take over and they won't last long and somebody else will come and take over. So it's an ever-changing cycle and it just doesn't change. And I don't think the taxes are necessarily the main issue.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't quite thought of that being another issue. The rateable value is obviously a huge issue, as our landlord said earlier on, but you're right, there are other cost pressures. Thank you, Ben, in Skipton. Did I say one pub a year closing, by the way? I mean one pub a day closing last year. David Woking says, it's not about pubs closing. Consumers pay the pub taxes. It is just another labour tax, says David in Woking. Okay. And Tony says, the real problem is the government don't know what they're doing. They're out of their depth. Increase in business rates, national insurance, minimum wage. We've had quite a few pubs shut down in this area over the last few years, and Tony's in Barnham. Also, the rents charged by the breweries has made it difficult. Prices have increased, which will also stop people going, as everyone, including pensioners who have private pensions, will be paying more because of the threshold freeze. Why don't people who get over £125,000 pay more tax? And Alan says, when you next speak to a landlord, ask them how much they charge for a pint of lager. Then you'll get your answer as to why they're shutting down. Yeah, but I don't think they want to charge that amount. I think they would argue they're being forced into paying or charging that amount. Thank you. More calls on that in a moment. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. 8:26 is the time. Now, featured in a lot of the newspapers this morning, a chickenpox vaccination will be rolled out across the UK today as health visitors separately prepare to offer childhood jabs at home in a separate £2 million NHS pilot, it has been announced. Let's get more on this now from Dr. Hannah Emmett, who is consultant epidemiologist at the UK HSA. That's the UK Health Security Agency. And Hannah joins us on the line now. Could you explain what has changed? What's new for parents? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. I'm thrilled that from today, children will be offered protection against chickenpox as part of the routine childhood vaccination schedule. So children will be invited to have their MMRV vaccine, which offers protection against four diseases. That's measles, mumps, rubella and chickenpox, which is also known as varicella. Chickenpox is a very common childhood infection. Lots of parents will be familiar with it, and around half of children will have had it by the time they're 4 years old. Although it's usually a mild illness, unfortunately, it can be very serious for some. Some children and adults will need to go to hospital for complications, and although it is very rare, tragically, some children do die of chickenpox. So countries which already use the MMRV vaccine have seen their chickenpox cases dramatically reduce, and that's what we can look forward to in the UK.
What countries do that, just so I'm aware?
Yeah, so Canada, Australia, Germany all use the MMRV, okay, as their routine vaccine. And so from now on in the UK, children will be offered two doses of the MMRV at 12 and at 18 months old. Older children born between September 22 and December 2024 will be offered one or two doses at their remaining childhood appointments. That's at 18 months and 3 years and 4 months old. And we'll also be doing a catch-up programme starting later this year for children born between January 2020 and August 2022. So from today, parents will start getting invitations from their GPs, could be by phone, text, letter, and I strongly encourage them to take up the offer when it comes.
There was this often spoken about idea of chickenpox parties, and as you mentioned, that chickenpox can be, in some cases, rare cases, fatal, and can be it can be very nasty, to put it plainly, for people who get it. What is the advice now when it comes to these idea of sort of getting people infected?
So, our long-standing advice, long before we had the vaccine, is that chickenpox parties are not a sensible approach. As I said, lots of parents will recognise this as a mild infection, but unfortunately, for the few who have very serious complications, it can be very dangerous. So I would never advise spreading it deliberately in order to become immune. The value of having a new vaccine is that, of course, you can become immune without needing to go through what is at least an unpleasant illness.
I would also, of course, strongly urge people to take the vaccine. I think it's important we say that on LBC, but there will be people who are skeptical, and there's various groups we know in society where the uptake rates are low based on various demographics. What would your message be to them?
So I think the first thing to say is actually people across the UK, our surveys show, that are generally very keen to take up vaccines. Parents are usually very keen to protect their children against infections. But juggling busy lives, juggling childcare, school and work does make it difficult to take up those vaccines, especially as children get older and they go into nursery. So one benefit of this new programme is that the second dose is being brought forwards to 18 months, and we expect that to help parents make those appointments a bit more easily. But there are, of course, going to be people who do have concerns about vaccines. I would encourage them strongly to take up the invitations when they get them from their general practice and voice those concerns and ask those questions with their GP, with their practice nurse or their health visitor, who will be more than happy to discuss any issues. And I think the key thing here is that in the UK, we have a very rigorous testing process for the safety and the effectiveness of all the medicines we use, including vaccines. And so we can be assured that this vaccine has a very good safety record.
Yeah, I think that's very important to put on the record. Thank you very much. Much appreciated. That's Dr. Hannah Emmett, who is consultant epidemiologist at the UK Health Security Agency, the UK HSA. More calls. In fact, we're going to take your calls on chickenpox a little bit later on after nine. If you do have a view on that, you might. I know there's been some cases where people have had a pretty nasty side effects and other illnesses as a result of getting chickenpox at various times. So we'll discuss that later on, where we'll also come back to the story of pubs, which we started the hour, and we'll discuss the James Bond star who cares for his seriously ill wife and daughter and was spared a driving ban after he was caught speeding at 24 miles per hour in a 20 zone near his home. Now, he already had 9 points on his licence in 6 months. Was it right that he got off? 8:31 the time, the news with Lucinda Horsley.
Officials say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify many of the victims of a New Year fire at a Swiss ski resort in Crone, Montana. Around 40 people are presumed dead and hundreds more injured. A vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. From today, it will be offered to babies aged between 12 and 18 months across the UK as part of the combined MMR jab. Snow warnings have been upgraded from yellow to amber for parts of the country. Forecasts to say areas of Scotland could see up to 40 centimetres on high ground. LBC weather cold with a widespread frost and sleet and snow showers this morning. Sunshine further south, highs of 6 degrees.
I'm Nick Ferrari. Thank you for joining me throughout the year on LBC.
It's not a racist at all to have concerns about your children, one of whom's going to secondary school soon.
If not being a racist means my children are subject to being murdered, going about their daily business, I'll quite happily say that I am.
Is there much point continuing this conversation? Because you don't know where a bridge starts, you don't know where it ends, and you don't know how much it costs.
Nigel Farage came up and claimed you had an obsession with him.
No, that's not the case. I am deeply concerned about reform because I think they will toxically divide our country.
But you mentioned Mr. Farage five times.
You are mildly obsessed.
I'll be back next week taking your calls on LBC.
Get that Euro Millions feeling this Friday. 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to celebrate. Not a bad way to start the new year. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
At Freedom Leisure, we're here to help improve lives through leisure. And we've got some incredible deals to help you feel good for less. Right now, there's no joining fee on monthly memberships and 3 months free with a 12-month membership. That includes swimming, gym, classes, sports and more. Search Freedom Leisure Membership Deals. Time limited offer. T's and C's apply.
You know, sometimes you just want to mosey. Travel your own world. Slow things down a mite, meet the locals, and smell the coffee. So friends, take time to sit down with the folks at Little America and let them tailor-make your trip to Canada and the U.S. just the way you like it. For slow travel that nourishes the soul, head to littleamerica.co.uk.
At Kia, we have an award-winning range of electric cars for you to discover. From the compact SUV, the Kia EV3, and our latest hatchback, the Kia EV4, to our stylish new Kia EV5, the all-electric family SUV. Discover what driving electric really means. And if you order any Kia electric car by March 31st, you'll enjoy your first two services free. Search Discover Your Kia EV to book your test drive today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
T's and C's apply.
Brands that use radio are 49% more likely to get noticed. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org, assuming you want to get noticed.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Good morning, 8:35, the time. Jim talking to you about pubs in just a second. First, though. Lovely fireworks in the background. That was the sound of the scene in central London. Fantastic. 100,000 people gathered to watch the fireworks. Well, in Birmingham, hundreds of people turned out to a New Year's Eve firework display that didn't exist. And if you thought that was bad enough, it's the second year that this has happened. This was despite clear warnings from the council and West Midlands Police that no such events were planned. LBC's Midlands reporter George Ike would never be fooled by something like this. He definitely didn't attend, but he joins me now with the very latest. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Henry. No, I was wise enough to be watching on the fireworks from a distance. And as you say, this happened exactly a year apart. And in 2024, thousands of people turned out for the fake firework display, only to be left feeling somewhat flat at midnight when no fireworks went off at all. And this year was no different. And for the second year in a row, crowds turned out in Centenary Square for a bogus fireworks display. And looking at some of the videos shared of the, well, non-event by disappointed people, you can see hundreds of people packed shoulder to shoulder waiting for fireworks to be let off in Britain's second city. Now, there were stark warnings from both Birmingham City Council and West Midlands Police last week. I actually wrote a piece for LBC's website and app about how police officers were warning people not to follow these adverts and posts, which they said were disinformation, fake news and generated by artificial intelligence. And that so many people gathering in one place in a large crowd could actually have quite significant risks. And I think really, Henry, the most bizarre part of this is it's just over 8 years since there was last a firework display in Birmingham City Centre for New Year's Eve. And with this being billed as a free event in the city, I think that's somewhat unlikely given the local authority declared themselves effectively bankrupt in September 2023. So firing off rockets and Catherine wheels probably hasn't been too high on the agenda at council meetings, but unbelievable scenes to see that many people turn out for the second year in a row for a non-existent firework display.
So, George, sorry, just lastly to clarify, did you say there's been no firework display, main firework display in 8 years? Did I hear that right?
That's correct, yeah, 2017.
More people should have been reading George Ike's piece on the LBC website. Thank you, George. Happy New Year. George Ike is LBC's reporter in the Midlands. I'm going to plead with you now, literally get on my hands and knees, and say, if you were at the fake Birmingham firework display, please do own up and give me a call, because I really want to hear what it was like. And there's no shame in it at all, but just tell me, did you gather to this particular part of Birmingham city centre? Were you one of the hundreds of people who thought you were going to get a fireworks display and you turned up and nothing happened? I know it's embarrassing, but I really want to hear from you if you were. Jim is in Nerja in Spain. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. How are you, Henry?
Very well, thank you. You called about pubs.
Oh, I did. I had to call because you had a caller on earlier. I'm not going to diss him, but Ben was trying to say that, it's disgusting, the prices that are charged in pubs. That's not the publican's fault, actually, and it's not actually being greedy at all. Before Labour got their hands on our finances, I had a restaurant in England, and it was an A1 restaurant, which means I could sell alcohol as well. And the costs of everything were absolutely awful. So just to run through the basics, you've got to, first of all, pay for the lease. You've then got to pay a monthly rent. Then you've got to pay the rates. Well, the rates used to include your water and your waste. Not anymore. They're new costs because they've been taken out of the rates. You've got electricity, gas, staff, stock, pay to play music. When you listen to music in a pub or at a restaurant, that's not all free. You don't just put it on like we do at home. You actually have to pay a yearly fee.
Yeah.
And back then, it was about £600 a year.
It's a PRS licence or something, isn't it?
That's the one, yeah. You have to pay to have seating outside if you want it. But the only way we used to be able to make money was to pass this on. Well, if you imagine, and the first thing that goes when you're stretched, I'm afraid, are your staff. So I guarantee these pubs, if they've got 10 staff, they will now have 8 staff, because that is the first thing to go. So I'm sorry, old Rachel Reeves is absolutely destroying small business in the UK. She has got absolutely no clue.
Well, I mean, if we do look at pubs, to be fair, they have been closing down for an awfully long time, that some would argue, and that you can't just solely blame this on a government that's been in for 18 months, Jim. What would you say to that?
What I'd say to that is that's true, but if you look at it in terms of sort of evolution and natural selection, yeah, pubs have been closing down for a long time, but the ones that are closing down now would have probably found a way through how bad it was before. But now they've got, I mean, that guy, come on, it was 165% up on his rates. Well, with some people, some businesses, especially pubs, the rates are actually more than the monthly rent on the lease.
Yeah.
And it becomes a ridiculous, you just can't, all of your profit will be gone on that.
Well, quite. Lastly, Jim, how did you end up in Spain? Are you on holiday or did you just get sick of everything?
Oh, no, I'm retired.
Oh, you're retired?
I'm retired now. I am.
Very
and
nice.
And just to give you an example of, because pubs and restaurants, and they still come under retail, I ended up just doing outside catering. So you don't have any of these bills. You go, you trade, you come home. There's no, there's none of this nonsense where you're a soft target. Because in retail, you are a soft target. They've got access to you. So, it's awful. What she's doing is, and yes, pubs were closing before, but not at the rate they're closing now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. Ben has texted in, by the way, to say the guy calling wasn't listening. I didn't diss any pub. I was the owner of the pubs, not the landlord I work in. I totally know, says Ben in Skipton. So I think you're making the point about the being the owner as opposed to being the landlord. Thank you. And Jim, thank you. Appreciated from Spain. 0345 606 0973 is the number to call. We'll come back to your views on that in just a moment. First, though, Colin Salmon, who is the star of James Bond, various films. He's also been in EastEnders. has wept as he explained to Lavender Hill Magistrates Court in southwest London why he needed to remain on the road despite committing multiple motoring offences. Now, this actor, who cares for his seriously ill wife and daughter, was spared a driving ban after he was caught speeding at 24 miles per hour in a 20 zone near his home. The father of four, who appeared in three 007 movies as the MI6 Deputy Chief of Staff, pleaded guilty to driving his silver Suzuki wagon in excess of the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Now, earlier this year, he was also caught jumping a red light and driving without due care and attention, as well as accumulating 9 points for speeding. He avoided a driving ban, but was fined £666, ordered to pay £130 in cost and a £266 victim surcharge. And he also received three additional penalty points. That would usually trigger, as you might know, a 6-month disqualification, because he would have had 12 points. But, well, he now hasn't been disqualified. Dominic Smith is director at Patterson Law, the biggest national firm specialising in motoring offences. Just on this particular case, what's happened to the 3 points that he's got then? Do they just get added at a later date?
No, they get added now. So when somebody goes to court where they're at risk of a 6-month ban, a disqualification isn't automatic. So the court do have a discretion not to ban people if the driver can persuade the court that a ban would cause exceptional hardship, which is what's happened in this case. What happens to the points get added to his license, but they just don't ban him. So he's now driving around with 12, 15, however many points he has on his license.
If he does get a further few points, and I hope he doesn't, but if he does, do we know what happens?
Stuffed. He's
really?
Then most likely going to get disqualified. Then.
Right.
It's kind of like a last chance saloon.
How common is this? Because this is obviously very high profile because he was in a number of James Bond films, three James Bond films, and he has a very unique situation. And of course, terribly sorry for his situation in that he cares for his ill wife and daughter. How common is it to be let off?
It's tough to persuade. So the test isn't just whether hardship would be caused. It's specifically whether the hardship that's going to be caused is exceptional. So you really have got to provide a lot of evidence to prove to the court that there are no alternatives. You couldn't rely on public transport. You can't afford to hire a driver. You can't rely on relatives. They really will scrutinise your circumstances. So it does happen, and it happens a lot, but it's not common. It's not the norm. Most people who hit 12 points will be disqualified. But in this case, I mean, I've read the articles. His circumstances do sound pretty exceptional. He had a sick wife. He had a sick daughter. I think his mother was ill as well. He does charity work. I think it's mentioned somewhere that his contract states he's got to be self-sufficient to get to work. So loads of different circumstances that he could present. So it does sound pretty exceptional in this case, but no, it's not easy.
In a related story today, there's the Daily Mail have a story that a record number of drivers are being penalised for speeding in 20-mile-an-hour zones in what, which the paper says, is a war on motorists. Statistics show a driver is caught breaking a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit every 90 seconds. Now, at Patterson Law, you deal with motoring offences all the time. Noting that the evidence does suggest they are very much safer, 20-mile-an-hour speed limits, and happy to say that, but how much of an issue are they for catching people out?
Huge. We have never had so many inquiries of people who accumulated 12 or more points, especially in a quick succession. So years ago, we used to have maybe one or two a year of drivers who'd committed, you know, 3, 4, 5 speeding offences within a couple of weeks. These days, we get one or two a day, easily. It's causing issues, especially in London, especially for tradesmen, plumbers, electricians, because they're on the road all day, every day. And 20-mile-an-hour zones, they are safer. You know, you can't argue with the stats. But inevitably, it's going to be easier to get caught as well. So there's going to be a lot more people at risk of a ban, and it is going to cause issues for people.
And in some cases, people argue they're not clearly labelled. Is it still the case that you get plus 10%, or is that a sort of myth?
It's the police discretion.
Right.
So there's an unwritten, it's not in law. So in law, technically speaking, if you were caught at 21, 22, you could be prosecuted. But the police tends not to prosecute for 10% plus one. 10% plus two, they will prosecute. So in a 20 limit, 24, you'll get points. 23 and below, they tend not to prosecute. But it's not in law. It's always been at the police discretion.
Thank you very much for your time, Dominic. Dominic Smith is director at Patterson Law, the biggest national firm specialising in motor offences. Do you think it was right that he was spared a driving ban? I think given his family circumstances, it probably was. But I imagine you have a story or know of someone, if not yourself, where you have been penalised when you think you were probably treated pretty harshly. 0345 6060 973, the number to call. We will get your views on that in just a moment. 8:47 is the time. The news is with Lucinda Horsley.
Authorities say many of those killed in a ski resort fire were so badly burned they'll need to be identified by DNA or dental records. A man and woman are being questioned on suspicion of murdering a man on New Year's Eve in Greater Manchester. A new vaccine which protects against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. LBC weather, cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers in northern Scotland, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Uckies and Ealing, the North Circular is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. So that also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. There are queues in Perivale on the A40 going out of town because of emergency repairs in the Medway underpass where it's down to one lane. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road. There are queues in Chipstead. Castle Road westbound is blocked between Elmore Road and Outwood Lane. That's because of cars broken down. On the trains, Southern have no service between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction because of some problems with the overhead lines. And on the Tube, there are severe delays on the District line between Barking and Upminster.
This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
You just get it right, the customer service, the sort of communication. You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life? Sunday Leaguers, dog lovers, beat clubbers, banger dancers, baby ravers, potters.
Whether you walk it, jog it or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up now and save 30% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends January 31st, 2026. T's and C's apply.
At Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £32 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/you save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 10th of the 12th, 25. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
This was made with human intelligence.
And artificial intelligence.
Just like Intuit QuickBooks business management software. If you're a sole trader earning over 50K from April 2026, making tax digital means
you have to file your taxes online.
But new QuickBooks AI has
automated tools to help make compliance easier.
I was going to say that. I'll do it with Intuit QuickBooks.
Find me somebody to love.
The dream sale ends Tuesday. Don't miss up to 40% off a range of beds and mattresses. And right now, when you buy a Tempur-Pro Air Smart Cool mattress, you'll receive a free Mega Tempur bedding bundle worth up to £860. Dreams. Love your bed.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
8:51 is the time. I mentioned earlier on, by the way, about the duped people at the Birmingham firework display. If you were there, please call me and tell me and be honest, because we can talk about it. We'll have a laugh about it. I'm not going to have a go. Were you duped by the fake fireworks in Birmingham? A colleague of mine showed me Brooklyn Bridge as well. A load of people were duped there, for want of a better phrase. They were expecting all these fireworks to come and nothing happened. But this is the story you mentioned earlier on, that the hundreds of people turned out for a fireworks display that was non-existent on New Year's Eve. If you were there, 0345 6060973 is the number to call. 8:51 is the time. Now, the iconic Bluebird K7 is to be allowed back nearly 60 years after the infamous fatal crash during the world record. This was Donald Campbell's fatal crash It was the actual sort of bit of it itself, the actual bluebird, was dredged up back in 2001 and restored. And there was this stream for many people to see the bluebird thunder across the Lake District once again, but was stalled by an ownership debate. But we have learned now, this goes back to 1967, by the way, when the thrill seeker Donald Campbell, who I mentioned, the late Donald Campbell, was attempting his eighth water speed record. He had already smashed past 275 miles per hour while in Australia in 1964, just a few years previous. That was months after he reached more than 400 miles per hour on land. To this day, Donald Campbell remains the only person to have broken both the world land, the world land and the water speed records in the same year. Gina Campbell is the daughter of Donald Campbell, who, as I referenced earlier on, has that speed record and was the driver of the Bluebird K7, who was killed back in the 1960s. And Gina joins me now. Lovely to have you on, Gina. Thank you for joining us. Can I ask you, when you heard that this was going to be back onto Coniston Water, the Bluebird K7, how did you respond?
Firstly, good morning. Yes, I mean, it's going to be the most amazing event. You know, so many years after my late father's accident and his untimely death, that Bluebird will be fit and ready and lift up her skirts, as my father used to say, and show everybody what she's made of. So it's going to be an amazing event. And not something, if I cast my mind back to that fateful day in 1967 when my father was killed, that I ever thought or dreamt or even crossed my mind that this would be happening. It's happened in a comparatively short time, but yes, it's sort of decades ago. So it's going to be quite a sight and quite an event to see her running again on Coniston Water.
And you will go?
I will go, yes. She did do some testing in Butte back in 2018 when there was this controversial situation about the ownership, etc. I've seen her run. But it wasn't the same as, you know, going to be able to see her run on Coniston Water, which is, of course, you know, so synonymous with my late father and for the village and for the whole area. It's going to be quite an event. I mean, it's going to take place over a full week, and there's going to be pop concerts on in the evening, and there's going to be all sorts of other events happening for people to enjoy. So, of course, we have to contend with the vagaries of the English weather and the Lake District weather. And, of course, hence why the Ruskin Museum, who are the owners and custodians of Bluebird, have had to put aside a week in which hopefully we will get, you know, a few days of running conditions.
Well, I was going to ask you about the Bluebird K7 itself. It was your wish for there to be a memorial for your father, and there was a debate at the time as to sort of taking it out of the water. It's now available for people to see at the museum still, is it?
It certainly is, although I hasten to add, at this very moment, she is not in the museum.
Right.
She is away being fully tested and completely, you know, she got to have her engine completely reinstalled and all the necessary engineering work to make sure that everything, you know, is going to work as per it should, because obviously she's not a Saturday afternoon runabout. She's a highly technical boat. And when I think back as to what my father and his band of merry men, which was literally, you know, half a dozen men in a tarpaulin-covered shed, managed to achieve back in the mid-60s and on into 1967. And when I think back what they achieved, it's actually quite remarkable. When I think of what is needed today, you know, in terms of her running safely, insurance, public liability, the lifting of the speed limit on the lake, and the huge amount of work and organisation that has gone into making this event hopefully going to happen next May.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated. Gina Campbell is the daughter of Donald Campbell, who we referenced, and Gina said about his remarkable achievements, her late father. I mean, quite incredible. In 1959 on Coniston Water, 260 miles per hour on water. 5 years later on Lake Eyre, he hit 403 miles per hour on land in the Bluebird CN7. And then back with the Bluebird K7, he then smashed his own record in 1964 with 276 miles per hour. I mean, extraordinary achievement and extraordinary speeds. Thank you, Gina. Much appreciated. Back to the subject with which we were talking about earlier on. Arveen has called in South Croydon. Morning.
Good morning.
You're talking happy about New pubs. Year, and Happy New Year to you too.
Yes, I can go to my local pub and I can buy 2 pints of Hodder's HSB and pay £10.40 for it, which is a very fair price. On the way home, I can go into the local Sainsbury's or Tesco's Metro or even the little grocery store at the end of my road. I can probably buy 5-6 bottles of beer for the same price. And that is really the problem. It's people, I think, drinking at home because of the disparity in this country.
Well, yeah, and people are struggling to get by, as we know, and indeed, it's significantly cheaper.
And one easy thing the government could actually do is just take VAT off pub sales and off restaurant sales.
And that seems to me would be a sensible move. Arveen, thank you for holding on. Much appreciated. Quickly, Nicole and Bishop, we've only got about a minute, Nicole. What would you like to say?
Okay, right. Hi.
You called about the speeding story.
Yeah, basically, I'm really surprised that he got off a driving fine because, you know, he was done for driving with uncared due and attention. He went through a red light.
He does also have a seriously ill wife and daughter.
I mean, I understand that, but he is a well-known actor that has a £1.2 million house. I can't believe that he hasn't got the money to get cabs to and from where he needs to go, to be fair. I was really surprised.
But if he's caring for sick family, he can't be expected to get cabs everywhere, can he?
Well, he can be. If he's got the money, I don't see why not, you know. If he's driving with uncared due and attention, you can knock someone down. And what are they going to say then?
Well, that is always the argument when it comes to speeding. Thank you, Nicole. Glad we squeezed you in. Rosemary says, Donald Campbell lived in Leatherhead and we used to see Bluebird. Glad it's being revised. I said, in fact, it's Rose. Apologies. Rosemary. More calls later on. We are going to change tack, change subject coming up.
It's one of the few processes, other than being born and dying, that actually you are out of control.
That is Amanda Owen, the Yorkshire shepherdess from Our Yorkshire Farm, revealing why she had a home birth for her 8th child. The reason she couldn't be bothered to go to hospital. Plus,
fathers are still getting put where it's highly dangerous for them because that's the only place that anybody will let them live.
The government faces demands for a major clampdown on illegal traveller sites in the countryside after the number of caravans parked in unauthorised camps rose by a fifth in a year. And
I've seen children that have been hospitalised because of it, and if we can do anything to reduce the effects of chickenpox, I think it's brilliant.
A chickenpox jab for all, including a trial to jab people at home. What is not to like? We'll take your views on that next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the first victim of a fire at a Swiss ski resort which killed at least 40 people has been identified as an Italian teenager. The Italian Golf Federation has paid tribute to Emmanuel Gallopini. At least 40 people are presumed dead and around 100 injured after flames ripped through a bar during New Year's Eve celebrations. Robert Stewart works for Crans-Montana Tourism.
Obviously, there's a lot of people that are very concerned about their friends and their family. And that's going to take time. And I think it's too early to say, you know, what the future for those feelings holds. But right now, it's just about trying to process what's happened.
Switzerland is holding 5 days of national mourning. A chickenpox vaccine will be rolled out across the NHS for the first time. It's going to be offered to children across the UK alongside their MMR jab. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, says it's great progress.
So I encourage parents to take up this vaccination. It'll be with the MMR, which is great for kids. It means they're not having to do repeat visits with all of the tears that can sometimes involve. And this is so much better than the alternative.
Drivers are being warned of travel disruption with weather warnings for snow in place for much of the UK. Scotland's expected to be most severely affected, with around 2 centimetres falling in some areas. A man's been charged with trespassing after someone managed to get into the grounds of Kensington Palace twice before Christmas. 39-year-old Derek Egan has also been charged with breaching his bail conditions. Venus Williams could become the oldest female tennis player to ever play at the Australian Open. The 45-year-old has been given a wild card for the first Grand Slam of the season. Japan's Kimiko Date was 44 when she played in Melbourne in 2015. In the city, the FTSE 100 has risen above 10,000 for the first time. A short time ago, it was trading up 87 points at 10,017. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers across northern Scotland. Sunshine further south with highs of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lucinda Horsley.
Shout out to the savvy ones tuned in across the UK.
Who? Me?
Yeah, you. The ones who know a good deal when they see one. Like the house proud who protect their manor from broken branches to burst pipes. The dog walkers who take the lead when comparing pet cover for their pampered pooches. And the drivers with breakdown cover belting out those power manners. Here's to all of you making smart choices and finding your insurance at Go.compare. Now that's savvy.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Henry Reilly.
9:04 is the time. Good morning. You're listening to Henry Reilly here on LBC this hour.
I could not be asked to set off that whole thing of, you know, ring the Labour ward, ring for an ambulance, paramedics, I just wanted to go back to bed.
That's Amanda Owen, the Yorkshire Shepherdess from Our Yorkshire Farm, speaking on the White Wine Question Time podcast, saying she had a home birth of her 8th child because she couldn't be bothered to call for an ambulance. Plus,
your locals don't want travellers near them. They don't want the traveller community near them.
That is John Reilly, founder of the organisation GTL, which aims to improve relations between travellers and non-travellers. This as traveller caravans on unauthorised sites have risen 20% in a year, with the Labour government now facing calls for a major clampdown. We'll discuss that later on this hour.
Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. This is LBC.
And a very good morning to you. Something we spoke about a bit earlier on is this new chickenpox vaccine that is going to be rolled out for the first time. This is a vaccine which protects people against chickenpox and will be rolled out. Youngsters across the UK will now be offered the vaccine along with the MMR jab. That is the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine that currently youngsters do get. Health experts now, though, say that this chickenpox addition can be very serious for some, and so it is a good thing it will be rolled out with the same vaccine. The rollout will help reduce the burden on families, experts have said, with many parents currently forced to take time off work in order to care for children while they are sick. The combined jab has been used successfully in other countries for decades and is part of routine childhood vaccines in the US, Canada, Australia and Germany. An expert saying this is going to make a real difference when it comes to protecting those against the virus. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, has spoken about this.
We've got really great evidence-led medicine and science in this country, which means we are now able to do things like vaccinate against chickenpox that would otherwise be not only a source of severe irritation to children, but potentially a really serious illness, occasionally causing fatalities. So I encourage parents to take up this vaccination. It'll be with the MMR, which is great for kids. It means they're not having to do repeat visits with all of the tears that can sometimes involve. And this is so much better than the alternative.
The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, GP practices will offer children a combined MMRV vaccination. This is varicella as well, as you heard earlier on from our guests. You'll hear a little bit of what she had to tell me in just a moment. They'll offer children this vaccination at 12 and 18 months of age, meaning that children will be protected from varicella, as well as measles, mumps and rubella. The NHS have said this is a hugely positive moment for children and their families, providing protection against chickenpox for the first time and adding to the arsenal of routine vaccinations we give to children to safeguard them against serious illnesses. How can anyone be against this? Surely this is very welcome news, and that we should all celebrate the fact that we have this vaccination when it comes to chickenpox. I want to know from you, we know it can be, and there are some horror stories, to put it plainly and accurately, when it comes to people who've had chickenpox and do end up with all sorts of other health complications as a result. Do call me and tell me if that has been your experience. 0345 6060 973, the number to call. Are you in favour of this new vaccine at 12 and at 18 months of age? We already have the MMR vaccine, but adding varicella as well to protect against chickenpox would seem to me to be a pretty welcome step and a good move. Now, I mentioned earlier on, I was joined by Dr. Hannah Emmett, who's consultant epidemiologist at the UK Health Security Agency. She told me,
I'm thrilled that from today, children will be offered protection against chickenpox as part of the routine childhood vaccination schedule. So children will be invited to have their MMRV vaccine, which offers protection against four diseases. That's measles, mumps, rubella and chickenpox, which is also known as varicella. Chickenpox is a very common childhood infection. Lots of parents will be familiar with it, and around half of children will have had it by the time they're 4 years old. Although it's usually a mild illness, unfortunately, it can be very serious for some. Some children and adults will need to go to hospital for complications. And although it is very rare, tragically, some children do die of chickenpox. So countries which already use the MMRV vaccine have seen their chickenpox cases dramatically reduce. And that's what we can look forward to in the UK. And so from now on in the UK, children will be offered two doses of the MMRV at 12 and at 18 months old. Older children born between September 22 and December 2024 will be offered one or two doses at their remaining childhood appointments. That's at 18 months and 3 years and 4 months old. And we'll also be doing a catch-up programme starting later this year for children born between January 2020 and August 2022. So from today, parents will start getting invitations from their GPs. Could be by phone, text, letter, and I strongly encourage them to take up the offer when it comes.
Dr. Hannah Emmett is consultant epidemiologist, try saying that, after the UK, at the UK Health Security Agency, talking to me earlier on about the new policy that has come into effect from today. NHS vaccination programme will now expand. The MMR vaccine will become the MMRV vaccine to protect against chickenpox. I am essentially just after your stories this hour. If you maybe work in a school, or you work in healthcare, or you are a parent, we all know how chickenpox can be firstly irritating on a small level in terms of you having to miss work and taking time off work, and obviously your kid having sort of blisters that end up with scabs, and it can be very horrible. But also, as we've heard earlier on, it can in some very rare cases be fatal, and it can lead to some very serious health consequences. So I'd very much like to hear your stories this morning and your view on this government policy, which is what it is, in conjunction with the NHS, to expand the vaccination to now include chickenpox. 034, or protection against chickenpox. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. You can text 84850 or ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Sue Atkins is a parenting coach and author, and regularly helps us with these matters. She's also host of the Navigating the Digital Jungle podcast and joins me now. Sue, firstly, your thoughts on this change. Good morning.
Good morning. I welcome it. I think it's a really important change. I think the doctor you had speaking earlier was very, very reassuring. I had chickenpox on the day that Margaret Thatcher resigned. Can you believe
it? Goodness.
I was an adult.
1990.
I was a teacher and I was doing the Christmas play and stuff, and I got chickenpox. And it is not very pleasant when you get it when you're older. So actually, I was pleased when my own children had the, you know, they've been inoculated and then they developed a mild form of it. I think the important thing here is to learn that vaccines help the immune system recognise and fight the infection without the child having to suffer the full-blown illness. And I do really feel it's worth talking a lot about, because the MMR came under such disrepute for no apparent reasons, and that doctor was struck off. But it's
Andrew
still
Wakefield,
very,
just to remind people,
and parents are still sort of resistant to vaccines, even though that happened a long time ago and was totally discredited. So I really hope the push from all sorts of people to explain gently and clearly why this is a good idea. And I think the idea of health visitors coming into the home as well, offering this, offering advice, not judgment, explaining, gently guiding people. And then parents just have to really weigh up, you know, is this worth the risk? You know, that I don't have them have the injection or the vaccination.
There'll be a lot of parents who are, understandably, they are concerned, they are slightly anxious when it comes to vaccinations at an early age. On a sort of parenting level, given your work, Sue, I wonder what your message is to them.
Well, I think vaccines help children build protection, as I said earlier, without having to suffer the full illness. And I think it really can prevent serious complications that we don't always see coming. We think, oh, it won't happen to our kids. Oh, they'll be fine. I had it. Wasn't very, you know, a difficult time for me when I was young, because you can't remember. But I think it is very important to make sure that, you know, children do have their proper injections at the right time. So we are taking care of them. And I know the government has launched a whole big thing now about early childhood and babies and watching how they progress. Even, dare I say, Radio 4 is doing Following Babies on Radio 4 Today programme, so that we're all aware now of how we can take more care of the early years and babies and young children, so they grow up really healthy and active. And my whole thing is obviously a little bit off screens as well. That's my big bugbear.
Well, quite. And that is probably one of the reasons why there's a lot of disinformation out there as well, Sue.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing. I mean, isn't it difficult, even as adults, to work out what is fake news, what is misinformation? Let's be really candid. America's stance on vaccines isn't really very helpful. But we have really great research here in the UK, very, very robust. And so I am, you know, not anti-health, I'm pro-protection. And it is about listening to parents and their concerns, guiding them, explaining, and gently kind of nudging them in the right direction, I think.
Thank you, Sue. As always, Sue Atkins is a parenting coach and author and host of the podcast Navigating the Digital Jungle. Over to you now. Your thoughts on this change from today. Surely you'll be rushing to go and get this new vaccine for your child, or it is good news if you, because it can be backdated, by the way. It's at 12 months and at 18 months, but if they are slightly older, then you can sort of get it a bit later on, if that makes sense, much like the MMR vaccine. But your thoughts on this coming in, really, and I want to hear your experiences if you have had a particularly nasty bout of it, chickenpox, and it has led to other illnesses. Just remind people quite how serious it can be. What's been the experience that you've had with chickenpox? More calls on that in a moment. 0345 606 0973, the number to call. Also, we will discuss the demands that Labour is currently facing for a major clampdown on illegal traveller sites, which, the as it is written here, are scarring the countryside after the number of caravans parked in unauthorised camps rose by a fifth in a year. What's behind that? We'll discuss. 9:15 is the time. The news with Lucinda Horsley.
The first victim of a fire at a Swiss ski resort bar has been named as Italian teenager Emmanuel Gallopini. At least 40 people are presumed dead after it broke out on New Year's Day. A vaccine to protect against chickenpox is being rolled out across the NHS for the first time. Parts of Scotland could see blizzard-like conditions and up to 40 centimetres of snow later as an amber weather warning moves in. LBC weather, cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers in northern Scotland, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Arquesan Ealing, the North Circular, is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. That also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. The Arquesan Perivale on the A40 going out of town because of some emergency repairs in the Medway underpass, where it's down to one lane. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road, so it's slow on the approach. On the trains, Southern have no service between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction. That's because of problems with the overhead wires. And flights at Gatwick Airport are delayed by up to an hour, and flights at Heathrow Airport are delayed by up to a half an hour. It's because of the bad weather.
This is LBC.
The famous five are at home, and Julian could barely contain his excitement. "Why are you so excited?" asked George. "Is it your birthday? Is it snowing?" asked Dick. "Are we having treacle sponge tonight?" asked Anne.
"No," said Julian. "It's the great GWR getaway sale."
The great GWR getaway sale is now on. Hurry, book before January 5th at gwr.com or on the app. Great Western Railway. Adventures start here. Terms apply. Selected routes only. Travel by April 10th.
This is LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
Another early morning gym session skipped. Some New Year's resolutions set you up to fail. But a new Mazda CX-30 is the one you will want to keep. Available with 0% APR and a £750 deposit contribution during the Mazda January sale. Order by the 31st of January. Search Mazda. Available on PCP when financed by Mazda Financial Services by the 31st of March 26. Indemnities may be required. Terms apply. Participating dealers. See website.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Ears are great, aren't they? One on each side of your head for stereo. It's because of ears that radio ads can amplify your advertising. 40 million adults listen to commercial radio every week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Henry Reilly on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 is the time. Time to scratch chickenpox parties as NHS adds to jab is the headline in one of the newspapers today. From today, the NHS vaccination programme is expanding to include chickenpox, also known as varicella. GP practices will offer children a combined MMRV vaccine at 12 and 18 months of age. What is not to like? I take it you'll be rushing to go and get your son or daughter vaccinated, I would imagine. 0345 6060973 is the number to call. And we know that some of the serious health effects that can come as a result. Lots of messages coming in on that. Christine, for example, says, "You've not mentioned the risk later in life of shingles, which can be debilitating. My husband had it for 4 years. What was your experience with something that came about as a result of chickenpox? Was it, did you have shingles as a result? Did you have another illness that was related to you previously having chickenpox? 0345 6060973 is the number to call. Let's go to Mould and speak with Julia. Hello, Julia.
Hi there, hello.
Hello. What would you like to say?
I think it's a great idea. I had two children who are grown up now. My son got chickenpox and was aged four, was covered in spots, you know, looked terrible, but was actually fine. And then my daughter got it and had one spot and no other symptoms. And she then ended up really very ill with chickenpox pneumonia and was in hospital for 10 days in isolation. And it was really scary, actually. And she then, shortly afterwards, was diagnosed with celiac disease, well, about a year later. And I think that was triggered by the chickenpox pneumonia, because she was fine before that. So I think it is a horrible disease, and I think it needs, I think this vaccination is a great idea.
What of people who are sceptical, though, Julia? Wrongly, certainly, if you look at all of the stats, but there will be people who are sceptical.
Yeah, I'm sure. But you know, you go through something like this and it makes you think twice. And I warn all my friends' children, you know, just watch it. I mean, my daughter didn't cough. You know, it was extraordinary. She got this chickenpox pneumonia, but there were no outward signs except for the fact that she looked very ill. She was just very, sort of floppy and not talking. And, you know, luckily we had a very good doctor who sent her straight to hospital, but there were no signs of pneumonia apart from her being very ill. So I think it's a really, really important thing to have.
Why do you suppose that there are people who are sceptical? What does the scepticism come down to, do you think? Is it authority in general? Has it been eroded by politicians since COVID? What do you think, Julia?
I think a lot of people don't like having, you know, injections and strange things in their body. And I think unless you have an episode like this, you think it's sort of all right. And people don't like being told what to do, and yeah.
Well, quite. I think you're probably right. Thank you, Julia, in Mould. More calls in a moment. 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. Half of all children contract chickenpox by the age of 4, and 90% contract chickenpox by the age of 10, according to the most recent data. The virus is a common infection that spreads easily and results in a sore, pox-like rash. Historically, families would throw chickenpox parties, which, as you heard earlier on, is not the thing to do anymore, to give their children the infection so that they would increase their immunity to varicella as they got older, when symptoms tended to be worse. Children are typically asked to stay off school when they have chickenpox, and this would, it seems to me, be good for the economy as well, because if it costs, it's estimated by various organisations, £24 million a year having parents effectively miss work because their child has chickenpox. And that's the figure that's lost in terms of income and productivity. Also, you only have to look at this country. Back in July, a child died in Liverpool after contracting measles, the first such death in the UK in a decade. And Liverpool is one of those areas where there's 73% of children having received the necessary two shots, which is low compared with other areas, but it's by no means the lowest. I think in parts of London as well, it's particularly low. Why is there such scepticism when it comes to vaccines, do you think? 0345 6060 973 is the number to call. We'll come back to your views on that in just a moment. First, though, 9:24 is the time. Labour is facing demands for a major clampdown on illegal traveller sites, scarring the countryside, so says the Daily Mail, after the number of caravans parked in unauthorised camps rose by a fifth in a year. Ministers have been accused of a soft-touch approach after official statistics showed that 4,464 mobile homes parked on land without planning permission this summer. That's the most since 2013. Let's bring into the conversation Cliff Cordona, who is chair of the National Travellers Action Group. Cliff, thank you for joining us. Happy New Year.
Good morning.
Your thoughts on these figures that has been reported in the Daily Mail?
Well, they're probably quite right. You know, there's such a need for somewhere to live, and local authorities hasn't really grasped what's needed to be done. The Labour Party has done absolutely nothing about it whatsoever. There's no funding, there's no money being put forward, and a lot of travellers are just trying to take things into their own hands and find somewhere to live desperately until the planning system can understand that we've been at the back of the queue for a long time, and we seriously need our own homes and somewhere to feel safe, to get off the roads and not be a pest up and down the countryside in different areas, pulling up and down, to have a, you know, permanent basis to live.
Yeah, but obviously a lot of these areas, they're illegal sites, so I doubt you're condoning that, Cliff.
I'm not condoning that whatsoever, but what I'm thinking is, what's happened in the past, which I've been a big part of myself, is working with the local authority to find what is the best way around it as quick as possible. And, you know, the illegal part of it straight away makes travellers under target. They get targeted then because it's put down as the criminal side of it. So to actually want to help somebody, it's seen as somebody, something bad, do you know what I mean?
One of the things that is spoken about in this article, the vast majority of these cases was situations where they were parked on legally owned land by travellers themselves, but were illegally parked. And this comes, the papers say, a slew of high-profile cases where travellers have purchased land, often in leafy parts of the home counties, before laying tarmac and creating pitches. Is that something you recognise?
Yes, 100%, because, like I say, if you was to have a good conversation with a lot of the local authorities, they haven't got any money to go out there and actually buy land or say to travellers, well, we would rather you have this piece of land because we can see planning permission is the way to go forward. The government has pulled back that much on the whole traveller thing whatsoever that local authorities have got their back up against the wall. And travellers are desperate, very desperate. We do not want, it's not safe anymore to, you know, just live anywhere in your trailer pole where we normally would anywhere around the countryside. We're desperate for our own homes. So we're pushed to the illegal side of it. We've got no choice.
But in cases where fields are concreted over, I mean, there's one example in Guildford where a field was concreted overnight in darkness. I mean, We don't want fields being concreted over, do we?
No, but I think that might be something extreme. You know, most travellers understand about how to lay materials down on the ground. They know about putting membrane in. They know about putting porous hardcore or whatever down, because if they have to live on somewhere, they know the water must be able to drain away. So it's done to a decent standard. Until if the council, remember, I've owned these sites, I've lived on them, I've done it myself in the past.
Yeah.
And if the council decided, right, we've had enough, you got to go, the court said, end of story, you had to do like I done. Get up and leave your site and turn it back to the way it was again. So you can't afford to put materials down that you have to remove off the property.
Lastly, the total number of traveller caravans in England hits 28,500, which was an increase of 4% on the previous year last year. Given your role at the National Travellers Action Group, do you expect that figure to increase further this year?
I do, unfortunately, because the cost of living, bills, debts, and we're not just talking about the travelling community now, we're now talking about the settled community. There's quite a few of them coming out into caravans now. Take a look at Brighton and different areas where people just can't afford to, they can't afford rent. It's gone up treble to what it used to cost. So you've got the issue all the way around the board for all of us. We're all in the same boat. Everything's too dear and you can't earn the money to pay for things.
Thank you for your time. Cliff Cardona is chair of the National Travellers Action Group. You might have views on that, but keen to hear your views also on the chickenpox story. If you are sceptical about giving your child the vaccine, why? And why do you imagine so many people are sceptical? And there's various disparities when it comes to different parts of the country. Why would someone be sceptical about giving a vaccine that has been proven to be extremely effective? 0345 6060973 is the number to call. Do you put it down to social media? Is it down to fake news? Being able to spread your views on that in a moment. Plus,
ring the Labour ward, ring for an ambulance, paramedics, I just wanted to go back to bed.
That's Amanda Owen, the Yorkshire shepherdess from Our Yorkshire Farm, revealing why she had a home birth of her eighth child. She wanted to get back to bed and she couldn't be bothered to call for an ambulance. 9:30 the time, the news is with Lucinda Horsley.
The first victim of a fire at a Swiss ski resort bar has been named as Italian teenager Emmanuel Gallopini. At least 40 people died and around 100 more were injured when it broke out at New Year's Eve celebrations. A vaccine to protect against chickenpox is being rolled out across the NHS for the first time. Young people across the UK will now be offered the jab alongside the MMR vaccine. Venus Williams could become the oldest female tennis player to ever play at the Australian Open. The 45-year-old's been given a wild card for the first Grand Slam of the season. LBC weather, cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers across northern Scotland, but sunshine further south. A high of 6 degrees.
This is LBC.
You know how fans shout at football matches?
Oh, wake up!
That's because sound is the most effective way to tell the players they're rubbish. Works in advertising too. Because when you amplify your advertising using radio, your campaign is 49% more likely to get noticed. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prep for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Frontera Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders until the January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
This is LBC. Message Henry Reilly on WhatsApp now. 0345 6060973.
9:33 the time. Russell's called from Boreham Wood on the chicken pox story. Hi, Russell.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, good. I've been kind of venting for this kind of conversation for a while because at the time when I had my wife and I had our daughter, and she caught the chicken pox. And we're kind of going back to the past where people are always talking about having chicken pox parties, get the kids to get the chicken pox, you know, and then once they've got it, they've got it. But then they started, the GPs were saying, would you consider it? And part of me was like, I'm not quite sure because, and there was a bit, I was kind of split quite evenly between it, because some GPs would say our children need to build up a natural immunity so our bodies could learn to fight off these infections quite naturally. And the other flip side of it was people were saying, well, you need the vaccination. And my side was, well, am I right in saying that if you have the vaccination and as they get older, if they do contract the equivalent chicken pox virus as they get older, i.e., what is it they call it? It's, I can't remember what the adult version of chicken pox is. It's a lot more detrimental to adults than it is to children. And so that's why I've always been kind of split between it, but I've never been too encouraged by it.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called now. It's annoying me.
Shingles,
of course. Yeah, shingles,
as you get older, so shingles is the adult chicken pox.
Well, it's linked to it, isn't it, in a lot of cases, yeah.
It is. And I've always been a bit sceptical of it.
Do you see this among, like, friends, for example, this level of scepticism or not?
A bit of a mix, really. I've even heard it on the radio as well. People talk about it on the radio and other chat shows as well, where they were trying to kind of push it towards people. And a lot of people are kind of very pro it. But I think when you kind of look at the bigger picture of it, you're very much sort of like, yeah, but our children do need to build up a natural immunity to these things, that you're masking everything. Is their body going to be able to establish and fight off these infections when they do suffer from them?
But the stats are the stats, Russell, and it's extremely effective.
At this stage, because it's new, I suppose it's a bit like, I mean, maybe it's not a good example, it's a bit like vaping, you know, people gave up smoking, now they're vaping, and it's kind of like the new kid on the block.
But it's not like they develop these things, Russell, and then they say, right, let's just try it out on people and see how it goes. Like, they have done trials,
and
they've been proven
to
be 98% effective at preventing any chicken pox if you've both doses.
I get that, I do get it, but I just kind of feel that if people will require effectively boosters as they get older, and if they do, if the vaccination does kind of wear off, and if they were to get the adult chickenpox virus, is going to be, it can be quite detrimental as well. And
well, I just think if you look at
the split between
why don't you get his whistle? And look, you can make your own decision for your, you know, for yourself, for your family. But if you look at the sort of pros and cons, the side effects are that there's sort of, you get a headache or a small rash. Whereas as we've seen in Liverpool, I mean, someone died of mumps not long ago, of measles, I should say, actually.
Sure.
And I mean, it seems, and people have, I mean, getting messages in all the time of people saying the serious illnesses they've had as a result. I mean, it would seem to me to be a no-brainer, this.
In some ways, yes, I do agree with that. I mean, there's a lot of kind of conditions or things which aren't necessarily heard of that people, you know, can lose a life to, sadly. But I think things like this, it's kind of drawing the line. And some AGP would say to me, you've got a good point. Yes, our bodies do need to build up a natural immunity to these things. Yeah, and others, yeah, but there is the flip side of it. So what do you do? And I'm kind of more, I mean, I've got a condition anyway, so I prefer to kind of let my body fight things off naturally. Because I know, I mean, even like when I have, I mean, I've got MS. And so when I have the vaccinations, what I did was having like the COVID vaccinations. I was coming down with COVID, and that was kind of wiping me out. So just by example, that's kind of how I feel again. You know, but
I know. But if you want that natural immunity, then having the vaccination allows you to do that.
How? Yeah. I mean, they say it. They do say it.
Okay, but also having chickenpox doesn't prevent you from getting shingles. Let's just be clear on that as well. They are different.
They are, but it's almost like you're kind of, when you have the chickenpox, I suppose effectively puts like a layer in your body of protection against it.
Okay,
so the more people that have chickenpox when they're younger, less of them have shingles when they're older. So that's what I've been educated to.
Thank you, Russell. Appreciate it. Happy New Year in Boreham Wood. More calls in a moment, 0345 6060 973. If you're listening to that, to Russell, who is clearly sceptical and is pretty fair about it, actually, he was sort of on the fence and was very honest, and we appreciate that. What would you say to him in order to tell him to get the vaccine, if that is your view? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. Lots of messages coming in. I'll come to those in just a second. We're going to talk about something completely different, though, briefly. This was Amanda Owen speaking on the White Wine Question Time podcast. She is the Yorkshire Shepherdess from Our Yorkshire Farm, and was talking about a home birth for her eighth child and the reason why.
When you work with animals and when you work outside and with nature, you become more aware of the fact that nature is exactly what it says it is, and that for all the ideas of having the perfect birth and the music and the jazzle and everything being perfect, actually it doesn't happen like that, you know? It's one of the few processes, other than being born and dying, that actually you are out of control and you have to go with this. So it's not about sort of posturing and saying, oh, you know, I'm sort of a very new age and sort of like not wanting any intervention or anything. It's literally the fact that I could not be asked. I could not be asked to set off and be bothered to just set off that whole thing of, you know, ring the labour ward, ring for an ambulance, paramedics, I just wanted to go back to bed.
Well, you appreciate the honesty, at least. She's sort of saying what she thinks, as Amanda does. Amanda Owen, speaking on the White Wine Question Time podcast. Again, you know her from Our Yorkshire Farm. But what of home births? Caroline Flint is former president of the Royal College of Midwives and author of Sensitive Midwifery and Do Birth. Well, your thought firstly on what you've just heard, Caroline. Good morning.
Good morning, Henry. Well, my first thoughts were a highly intelligent, very sensible woman. And she knows about childbirth. She's had a lot of children.
Yes, she's had eight.
She's had a baby at home before. One of her children was born at home, and I remember her talking about it on one of her programs. And she's talked about it with such affection and such peacefulness. She's right. We are mammals. Mammals are very, very safe at giving birth. We conceive our babies inside our bodies, so they're not accessible to predators and anything like that. We grow them inside our bodies, and then when we go into labour, we produce millions of hormones, and we give birth. These hormones are very easily upset. They're the sort of hormones that we also give off when we're making love. And if you think about how sensitive that is, there you are, you know, getting it off with your partner and your kids walk in. Well, it just stops. You can't. So it's very easy to disrupt the process. When you book for a home birth, the midwife comes to you. There's no getting your clothes on, going out in the cold, putting your shoes on, getting a taxi, any of that malarkey, and going to the hospital and them saying, oh, no, you're not in labour, not established labour, go home and come back in 5 hours' time. There's none of that. The midwife comes to you. There's been an incredible amount of research on home versus hospital. And if you book for a home birth, wherever you end up having the baby, because sometimes you end up in hospital, obviously, 75% women were less likely to have an infection. 75%, Henry. That's an enormous number.
There is also stats, though, Caroline, that says there's a high risk of complications.
No, there's not.
Well, where have you got your stats from? Well, this is what I'm reading on one particular article from the Times a while back, but you don't recognise that.
I don't recognise that at all. I read all the research. I'm retired, so I can just read everything.
Right.
All the research says that booking for home birth is women's safest option. It doesn't mean they're going to have a home birth. It does mean they are in control. They can say half the way through the labour, this is more painful than I anticipated. Bugger this, I'm going to hospital. Or they can say, this is taking longer than I anticipated. I want to go to hospital. Are you with me? They have some control over the process. And they have a nice little midwife come to them. And they are the hostess. Maybe I'm a control freak, but I have to say, I had all my babies at home. And really? It's lovely.
Okay, well, that's one side, and we're grateful for your time. Thank you. That's Caroline Flint, who's former president of the Royal College of Midwives and author of Sensitive Midwifery and Do Birth. You might have views on that. 0345 6060973, the number to call on home births. First, though, back to chicken pox. Jan's in Hammersmith. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Henry.
Hello.
Just a couple of, if I may, points about chicken pox. Number one, the chap you had on just now, Russell, the virus, shingles. That is an offshoot from having.
It's a reemergence, isn't it, of having chickenpox? Yes.
It's an offshoot from having the virus when you are younger. It is not chickenpox itself. It is the chickenpox virus that lays dormant in an adult's body, and then suddenly you have shingles. Anyone who has chickenpox generally has the virus dormant in their bodies.
Yes.
Number two, my daughter is on her second transplant. She does not have an immune system, which means that diseases like chickenpox, like measles, although she was immune as a child with measles, mumps and rubella, she doesn't have, along with a lot of people, a strong way to fight off chickenpox. It's an impossibility. Also, about 20 years ago, this is an absolutely true story, a man contracted chickenpox, my friend's husband. It travelled to his lungs. He very nearly died. He was extremely... These inoculations, they trigger. All they do is trigger your immune system to recognise when the chickenpox tries to enter your system, and your white blood cells are ready, little soldiers, as I call them, ready to start fighting these viruses. Inoculations are miracles, honestly, because the death rate with so many diseases in the past was shocking, absolutely shocking, and we shouldn't be afraid of them. We really shouldn't.
I think you've put out a pretty good public service message there, Jan. I'm grateful you called in. Thank you, Jan, there in Hammersmith. More calls in a moment. 0345 6060973. The time is 9:45. The news is with Lucinda Horsley.
The first victim of a fire at a Swiss ski resort bar has been named as Italian teenager Emmanuel Gallopini. At least 40 people are presumed dead after it broke out on New Year's Day. A vaccine to protect against chickenpox is being rolled out across the NHS for the first time. Parts of Scotland could see blizzard-like conditions and up to 40 centimetres of snow later as an amber weather warning moves in. LBC weather cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers in northern Scotland, highs of 6 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Arquies in Ealing, the North Circular is closed in both directions between Warwick Road and North Common Road because of an accident. So that also means the Uxbridge Road is closed in both directions at the North Circular. In Perivale, there are queues on the A40 going out of town because of emergency repairs in the Medway Underpass, where it's down to one lane. In Thornton Heath, the A23 London Road is closed in both directions. That's because of an accident between Wharfdale Gardens and Headcorn Road, so it's slow on the approach. On the trains, Southern have no service between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction. That's because of some problems with the overhead lines. And flights at Gatwick Airport are delayed by up to an hour, and flights at Heathrow by up to half an hour. That's because of the bad weather conditions.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Ian Dale.
Later, is our national security threatened if we can't read? Also, have you had a late-in-life career change? But first, much of the media seems to be ignoring the growing protests in Iran. Why?
Ian Dale at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Did you know Vets for Pets are
the nation's most trusted vets?
We think that's because they're
locally owned
and locally loved.
Wherever you are,
we've got a vet local to you.
Vets for Pets. We're all for pets. Based on a survey. To verify, search vetsforpets.com/allforpets.
The people of Britain love their spin bikes. They also love moving their card balances to a Barclaycard Platinum Balance Transfer Card with no interest for 36 months and £20 cash back until the 29th of January 2026. A balance transfer fee of 3.45% applies, subject to financial status. T's and C's and exclusions apply. Check if you're eligible at barclaycard.co.uk. Representative example. 24.9% APR representative variable and 24.9% purchase rate per annum based on a £1,200 credit limit.
40 million people listen to commercial radio each week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org.
EasyJet's Big Orange Sale is now on. New year, new plans, new deals. With up to £400 off package holidays and up to 20% off flights. EasyJet, get out there. Selected dates and flights. Flight sale ends 3rd of Feb. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulgutthealth.com/radio.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC with Henry Reilly. Text 84850.
I'm not an expert in home births, all right? So I'm aware that there are some people who agree with it, some people who disagree with it. Our guest, Caroline Flint, not the MP, the former head of the College of Midwifery's, thinks it's a great idea, and that's fine. But I do have to sort of give you the other side as well, that there have been some pretty tragic cases where things have gone wrong. There was a report a few years ago from Birthrights, which was suggesting that because in some areas it's unreliable and patchy, the provision of home birth services, that it's not always a meaningful option. So don't take it from me. Take it from your local hospital, your local GP. Ask them for advice. Ask a healthcare expert for advice. Don't solely rely on what you hear on the radio. It's important to get your own independent advice. Happy to make that point. Back to chicken pox. Stephen's in Watford. Hello, Stephen.
Oh, good morning. Hello. Morning. I was listening to Russell, prompted me to phone.
Yes.
And then I was listening to Jan, and she made most of my points. Because I'm a GP, and I was just going to point out about there's no difference between chickenpox virus in children and adults. It's the same, and the shingles.
So just explain that again to people. So if you have chickenpox as a child, you are the sort of, it lies dormant and can be shingles. Is that too simplistic a way?
No, that's absolutely right. It lies dormant, and shingles is a reactivation of the chickenpox virus in a nerve cell. So you get a sort of a rash in a band around your body. So it's not the whole, whereas chickenpox in children is spots everywhere. Shingles is just a rash in a band around your waist or around your chest or something like that.
As a GP, what is your, because you will encounter, I imagine, Stephen, people who are sceptical. I always think the best way is, I mean, I'm obviously a grumbling stick on the radio. I think if you get into a shouting match with people who are sceptical about the vaccine, you're never going to win them over. What is the way you try and persuade people?
Well, my absolute view is, as a health professional, is that vaccination is the right way forward, and if the vaccines are available to people, they should take advantage of it, because it will save many lives. If they choose not to, if they understand all the points that I make, and I say that it will save their lives and save other people's lives if you get to a level of herd immunity, then that's all I can do, and you just hope that they listen to you and protect their children. Because it's usually, what we're talking about today is chickenpox for us, but the other thing that you mentioned earlier is about the MMR and other vaccinations. Yeah. And some years ago, there was a massive controversy about MMR, and lots of children didn't get vaccinated, and lots of children got measles, and lots of children died unnecessarily, and that was a terrible thing that happened at that time.
Thank you for your words as a GP. It's very interesting. Stephen there in Watford. Shabir says, I'm a consultant doctor and I'm dropping this message to clarify a few points that were raised by Russell. We're not picking on you, Russell. It's just people have been prompted to message and call in since you called. Having chickenpox naturally does not give you a higher level of protection against shingles. Once you've had chickenpox naturally, the virus and remains storm within your body and reactives when you are old or when you get immunocompromised later in adult life. Therefore, having the chickenpox vaccine prevents you from having chickenpox in the first place and therefore reduces the risk of you getting shingles in later life. I hope that makes sense. Linda's in Greenwich. Hello, Linda.
Oh, hi. Okay, now I'm 72 and I don't think anybody's mentioned the fact that you get a shingles vaccine anyway offered. I've had one.
What, separately?
I'm 70.
I didn't know that.
Yes, there are shingles vaccines.
Okay.
And they don't ask you whether you've had chickenpox or anything. You can just have it.
Yes, okay.
So that's the first thing. Secondly, I think it's social media that's made the...
I think you're right, yeah.
Because when I, for a lot of my life... mothers just took their kids to have vaccines, really. And also, I think we used to have them in school as well. So this whole thing about, I don't know, I think it's nonsense. And people that will not have a vaccine, also want to say,
go on.
Chickenpox is miserable for children.
Yeah, it's not fun.
I've known children, you know, like boys. They get the rash all around their genitals. It's really horrible. And also, of course, you can get scarred. Your face can become scarred if you have because you mustn't pick them. Now, if you're covered in these, they're horrible. They're absolutely horrible. The kind of outbreak you get. So people should have these things. And I always say, you know, these people that won't have vaccines, I bet if they're in a car crash. And they're in hospital. They'll have vaccines soon enough then, won't they? They'll have antibiotic vaccines or whatever. So as soon as they really are, you know, up against it, they'll have it.
Yeah. Are you doing something else? I can hear a lot in the background, Linda.
Yeah, sorry, it's my husband.
Oh, it's all right. What's he doing?
He's bringing me my porridge.
Oh, is it? I thought he was taking the tree down by the sound of it. He's just getting you... what are you having with it? A bit of honey or golden syrup?
No, a bit of brown sugar and some grapes.
Oh, very nice. Well, enjoy your breakfast, Linda. Thank you for calling me just beforehand. Linda there in Greenwich. Sandy's in Stamford. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. Hello.
You're very welcome.
I came in halfway through the lady talking about home births.
Yes.
And whereas I'm sure a lot of home births are fabulous, had I had my first child at home... unquestionably he would have died. During my pregnancy there was no concern whatsoever about anything going wrong. So I'd done my wonderful birth plan for the hospital, the music, all that sort of thing. and it just went terribly, terribly wrong. He was born what they call flat. He was purple, not breathing, and instantly taken away from me. Cutting a very long story short, he was on life support for 3 weeks, and he was asphyxiated somewhere during the birth. And he had every organ failing, liver, kidneys, can't remember what else. Liver and kidneys were failing. He had to have a blood transfusion. He was fitting.
When was this?
This was 28 years ago.
Wow.
and he's a strapping 6'5", wonderful.
Well, I was going to ask you, how is he now?
He's wonderful.
Yeah?
Absolutely wonderful, yes. But had he not been able to go straight into special care and have the instant medication and life support, literally, he would have died. There's absolutely no question about that. And there was no indication whatsoever that there would be an issue. I'd had a healthy, normal pregnancy. And unfortunately, sometimes during delivery, children or babies are asphyxiated, leading to catastrophic injuries. And if that does happen at home, you're not going to have enough time to save lives, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, my goodness. So you, and clearly your situation, thankfully, is not common, but nonetheless can occur. And so that's your message, that you benefited from obviously being in a health setting, in a hospital.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well,
so
I'm pleased to hear about your son, strapping 28-year-old. I'm not going to mess with him if he's 6'5". My goodness. What's he doing now? Is he working?
Yes, he's a successful businessman now. He's, very, very lucky that there wasn't any long-time damage. He had delayed reactions for about 4 months, but that's to be expected with, the injuries he sustained.
Of course.
So a little word of warning. There was no warning for me that anything would go wrong.
Well, and I'm pleased that it all ended up all right in the end. Sandy, thank you. We're just out of time, but I appreciate the message. Thank you so much. Warren says, I had just had the shingles vaccine. I'm 55. It cost me £450 now. Apparently, it's not a live vaccine. You have two vaccines 6 weeks apart. No side effects. It's worth every single penny. Anastasia, I'm out of love, says, I had chicken pox when I was 18. And this from Di says, I've just heard about the vaccine about chickenpox. I caught it at 40, and I would urge anyone to get the vaccine. That's it from me. Thank you very much for all of your messages. I'm going to be back tomorrow and Sunday from 7. If you missed the show, you can listen back on the new LBC app or Global Player. On the LBC app, by the way, you can pause and rewind live radio, put your news categories in the order you want, and get all of the latest news and opinion. That's the all-new official LBC app from your app store now. At 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty, but right now it's time for Ian Dale.
Thank you very much, Henry. As the protests against the Iranian regime grow all over the country, this programme has been one of the few to give any time to them, and will unapologetically do so again this morning. Why are these protests happening? What do they seek to achieve? And is there a possibility of meaningful change in Iran? Now, Iran and Donald Trump are now locked in a war of words after the US president warned the US will act if Tehran kills peaceful protesters. What are the wider implications of what's happening? At 11, universities are now giving lifelong career advice after a major upsurge in graduates who choose later in life to change their careers. And at 12, Bridget Phillotson says people who can't read are a danger to our national security. Really? And how are our reading habits changing?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. Authorities say DNA or dental records will be needed to identify victims of a New Year fire at a Swiss ski resort. More than 40 people died and around 100 others have been badly injured after it broke out in Kron, Montana yesterday. Switzerland's holding 5 days of national mourning. These people witnessed what happened.
I feel like it's actually a nightmare that I'm going to wake up.
And last night, I didn't sleep a second. I couldn't. I closed my eyes and everything kept coming back to me because I saw people being resuscitated. I saw people completely burned.
It was really chaotic and really sad scene, especially people who had been burned. I saw people on the floor, not moving. I tried to get them into other bars and get them in the warm and give people my coat, as they had little more on them than burnt clothing.
A vaccine protecting against chickenpox is being rolled out on the NHS for the first time. Children across the UK will be offered a combined jab alongside the MMR vaccine. Until now, parents wanting to protect their children have had to pay up to £200 for the vaccine privately. Stephanie Tingley, who's a nurse at Great Ormond Street Hospital, says it's great news.
There's some children or families that are worried about their children going to school because of catching chickenpox, because it can make them really unwell. As a previous intensive care nurse, I've seen children that have been hospitalised because of it. And if we can do anything to reduce the effects of chickenpox, I think it's brilliant.
Weather warnings for snow and ice have been issued across large parts of the UK. Snow is forecast to fall heaviest in northern parts of Scotland later. Cold alerts also remain in place across the whole of England. Donald Trump claims his health is perfect, but admits he takes more aspirin than doctors recommend and finds exercise boring. The US president's been speaking to the Wall Street Journal amid aging concerns. In the city, the FTSE 100 has risen above 10,000 for the first time. A short time ago, it was trading up 81 points at 10,012. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather cold with a widespread frost this morning. Some heavy snow showers across northern Scotland. Sunshine further south with highs of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Lucinda Horsley.
Get that Euro Millions feeling this Friday. 10 UK winners are guaranteed to be millionaires. That's 10 more reasons to celebrate. Not a bad way to start the new year. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Very good morning to you. It's 3 minutes past ten. Do you remember the other day I said it often snows at New Year? Well, what happened this morning? I walked out of my front door around, 20 past seven, and there was snow on the ground in Tunbridge Wells. Doesn't happen very often. I was like a child. Still am, to be honest. I love a bit of snow over Christmas and the New Year. Never get it at Christmas, though, do we? Now, I have come to the conclusion that the whole of the British media seems to be asleep over Iran. Nobody is talking about it. It's hardly, barely featuring in the national newspapers. Been a couple of pieces on news bulletins on other stations and on the TV news, but not to the extent that you would expect. Why not? I mean, surely anyone can see that this is a major story, and it could, I emphasise the word could, lead to massive changes in Iran if these protests maybe carry a bit more clout than the last round did in 2022. So why do you think it is that people just aren't seeming to take notice of what is going on in Iran? Because Iran is a big country. It's a major power in the Middle East. It has influence in all sorts of different ways, which we've talked about over the years on LBC. But yet no one seems to really be highlighting what's going on in Iran at the moment. Now, we did on Tuesday or Wednesday? We're doing it again this morning. And I want to ask you several questions, particularly if you and your family originally hail from Iran. What are you hearing about the impact of these protests? Because they're not just happening in one or two places. They are, from what we can gather, happening all over Iran, in lots of cities all over the place. Partly based on the economic situation, because the value of the riyal is at its lowest ever. That's the Iranian currency. Inflation is high, somewhere between 70 and 80% at the moment. Unemployment is increasing. And there are genuine problems, not just for the poorest in Iranian society, but for the middle classes as well, in being able to actually feed their families. Now, that is a tinderbox for protest, and these are happening. The regime is reacting. They've made many arrests. Several protesters have been killed. And that's prompted Donald Trump to get involved. He has warned today on his Truth Social platform that Iran and the US, warned Iran that the US will come to the rescue, his word, of protesters if Tehran responds violently to the largest nationwide demonstrations that the country has faced in 3 years. Now, in his post early this morning, Donald Trump said, and I'm quoting his words now, if Iran shoots and violently kills peaceful protesters, which is their custom, the United States of America will come to their rescue. We are locked and loaded and ready to go. Locked and loaded, eh? That's quite a phrase, isn't it? What does that actually mean, though? What could the United States do to either promote these protests or intervene so that the regime could not repress them? I'm not quite sure what that all means. A lot of you, when we were talking about this earlier in the week, made the point that we, the United States, all countries in the West should just stay out of it. And I can see why a lot of people think that, because Western interventions in Middle Eastern countries haven't, shall we say, always gone that well, have they? But on the other hand, the Iranian people, I think, have felt let down when they've tried to protest against their regime in the past, where they felt that there was a tacit implication, particularly, I think, back in 2008-9, that the United States would come to their rescue, and it didn't. So what do you think should happen? How could we support the protesters, or indeed, should we? 0345 6060 973. Well, let's get the latest on the situation in Iran from Nazanin Ansari. She's an Iranian journalist and managing editor of the Persian language news website, Kayhan London, and the English language website, Kayhan Life. Nazanin, very good morning to you. Are these protests widening now? Are they happening in more places than they were earlier in the week?
Good morning, Ian, and thank you very much for having me on your program. Yes, the protests have, expanded to 45 cities across Iran. And if I could give you an indication of the geographical span, is from western Iran through central Iran through the Caspian North, reaching the northeast and down to the southern coast. So as you see, it is nationwide. And we have seen this kind of protest of... we have seen protests in Iran since the beginning of the revolution, but since 2017, the protests don't have an Islamic tone to them, and they're more nationalistic. They want a downfall of the regime. Specifically for this one, if you compare it to 2022, Women, Life, Freedom one, is that people do have an alternative in mind. And we are hearing more and more chants in support of Reza Pahlavi, the crown prince of Iran, Prince Reza Pahlavi, who in the past couple of months, maybe actually since summer, has really increased his campaign as far as reaching out to the military and intelligence and those who are, the divisions within the Islamic Republic. But at the same time, the difference between this time, 2026 and 2022, is that number one, we've got the business class, the merchants, the middle class, as you mentioned in your introduction, who are now...